My name is
Leroy Jenkins.
And I am happy.
Welcome to in-game chat here on 1170 WACV. In case you didn't know, that was Reggie introducing himself at Nintendo's E3 press conference this past year. As the best I could
do. He said it just like that.
He did. Took a big deep breath, shouted out Leroy, and the crowd was kind of quiet. Because that's crazy talk. Much like it was when he threw out the, look, here's our board that you can stand on. Silence. Anyway, welcome to the show, and we're going to be talking about E3 pretty much most of the night tonight. Don't forget, check out mouselook.com or evilavatar.com to get all the information on how you can listen and how you can join us in the chat room. You can head on over there now. We're all inside there. We got a lot of people in there for just opening up the show here. Blackwing has joined us. Tamarick. Tamarick, whatever. I always say.
Are you ever going to get that right?
I never am. We'll just call him Tam. Klunka, myself. Kevin's in there as well. Mike O'Hara has joined us. Voxels for him. I know he just loves that. Spike Kojima's in there. B.A. Penguin. Nick is in there as well. We're going to be talking to him later. Also, Strax is, of course, Flinks, who sent us a great email and did some work for us, basically. Didn't ask him, but he did anyway. He covered the PC stuff that was going on at E3. Fishbang, James is in there. DC Joe Dog, that's the first time I've seen him, so welcome to the show. And Bahika is in there as well. So thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. It's a big 3 hours of E3 talk. Real quick, I want to thank Justin from Joystick, who plugged us basically on their podcast rodeo. So thank you, Justin. Even though I know I jumped in the comments section last week, totally forgot I did this and plugged ourselves, and he used us. So he had quite the comments on my voice. So as much as he thinks the show freaks him out, his comments on my voice kind of freak me out.
Well, but, and hopefully some of the draw we get from that will lead people more towards our regular episodes instead of the E3 special.
That was a one you'll never hear us do that again.
Very much unlike what we normally do.
Exactly. So
except for the voice, which is pretty much always the same.
It never changes. But anyway, so welcome to the show, everybody. So we've got Jeremy in here, Straxus.
Hey, hey.
We've also got Becky, Space Angel. She's not in
Hello.
The chat room, but she's in here with us. We've also got Dennis.
Hello.
He's not in the chat. Get a laptop. get some way to get in there. And we've got Fishbang James, who's
hey.
In the chat room. And Zilla's back with us again. She's in the booth there, the soundproof booth. I got you mic'd up.
Hello.
All right, cool. She'll be answering your phone calls, which you can do so by calling us at 272-92281. 334-272-9228. Again, welcome to the show. Let's jump right into it, E3. Should we start with Microsoft? Might as well. Let's just go in the order that they were done and give some quick thoughts and ideas on what we saw at E3. We kind of did this last Wednesday, but I think we've had more time to process everything now. So let's just... Just jump in there with whatever you think.
Well, I gotta say, just I didn't make the show last week on the Wednesday because I was a little bit too busy at work to be able to come in, which means that I've actually been a little bit behind on some of the coverage that I missed some of that stuff. So between being able to cover things, you know, more or less in real time last week for you guys and seeing how, you know, the show worked out overall, like through the weekend, what for you guys actually met your expectations out of the show? That's what I've been wanting to ask you guys for a while. How did you feel let down after the first couple of days of announcements?
I was really let down.
Okay.
It looks like, to me, the E3's just turned into a big let's promote what's coming out for our holiday season event instead of this big, you know, wow the consumer with, you know, the latest cutting-edge stuff that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Find out about stuff that we've been keeping under wraps or stuff that won't be seen for another year or two. There wasn't much of that at all.
Yeah, I couldn't shake the feeling that they had... I mean, everybody was... The quality of their announcements aside, like, all the strength of their presence was in the first 18 hours of the entire expo. And the rest of it, I kept watching the web. I kept hoping something would come down the pipe and I'd be able to, you know, see a little bit of interesting information, but it was barely a trickle. Like, it was totally lopsided.
Mm-hmm.
Because in previous E3s, I mean, there was you know, a lot of things would happen in those press conferences. But
yeah, before you'd ever get on the show floor, like, there's all these huge announcements that you have to go back and read through. And, oh, God, this happened and that happened. And, oh, God, what about that?
But over the whole course of the show, I felt like things would always develop. And in this one, it was like after Wednesday midday, that was it. You know, I
what little bit
I kind of felt like the news was gone. I mean,
there were a few things.
It was just odd. It was like someone else wearing the same name. I mean, literally what it is, but I don't know. I think they really just should have scrubbed the whole concept of E3.
Yeah, I don't need an E3 next year if it's going to be this again.
No, neither do I.
Well, maybe it'll be different next year because of what it came out of this year.
Maybe.
You know, maybe they can look back and say, here's what we did wrong, or here's what was done wrong, or just here's a way we can change this and make this work better. I know Nick had his complaints from being someone who was there. Because of the way it was set up.
I can't wait to hear him.
I'll tell you a little bit of it, and he'll go into some he'll go into explaining here on this, but the way it was set up was there was the hangar, of course, where all the games were being displayed. And then the interviews took place in hotel rooms scattered around the area. So journalists had to wait for shuttle buses to take them to a hotel room to wait to get an interview. And then he also had to wait for a shuttle bus to take him back to his hotel room, which was like 2.5 miles away from the place. It was a lot, it was just different. I think there were some good points about that, and then there were some bad. The hotel room thing was probably a more intimate atmosphere than normal. I don't know how they normally do the reviews, but or the interviews, but probably than normal. However, having to schedule your time to catch that bus to get to where you need to go to get that interview in, probably a big hassle. But we'll get his take on that coming up around 8 o'clock or so. For me, you know, I still... The charm of it still hasn't faded. I'm relatively new to getting all this so soon like this. I mean, last year I sat there and I watched every single stream of those broadcasts and was just all wrapped up in it, and I was blogging as well and reporting whatever I could see because I knew everybody else that were kind of stuck and couldn't watch the show.
We're all working.
You know, and then this year I kind of did the same thing, and I was still a little bit, you know, I was still like, oh, this is, hey, it's wonderful. And but at the same time, I could look at it and I could see that Microsoft, while I believe that they would be in second place, well, actually, Microsoft kind of stayed in second place if you were to rank these things. Last year it was like Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony. Sony was like way down last year.
Oh, is this the inevitable?
This is the ranking.
Completely useless. Yeah.
Yes.
Who won
E3? Yes. Well, no, it's the what I what I enjoyed. The conferences that I enjoyed.
Okay.
I'm not saying, you know, if...
Well, I mean, the question always comes up.
Yeah.
Who won E3? Well...
Well, if you got to pick a winner, I'd say Sony.
Know. Yeah.
Myself. This year it was Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo. So it was Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony last year, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo this year. Nintendo was just completely un... Oh, my God. That was hard. Is your mic on?
Is it on? It's not on.
Not on here.
Now it is.
Okay.
There we go.
It was staticky.
Sorry, like. Dennis. Nintendo's was just... You guys haven't had a chance to watch it. And I'm not saying you really should, actually. But that's one of those things. If you really want to know what I'm talking about, you should give it a watch. Give it a look-see. You had a couple of, you know, hey, this is when this is coming out, and this is when you'll get to play this here in the Americas and whatever else. But other than that, you're like, here's our wheel that looks ridiculous in my gigantic hand. And here's the board that you can stand on and exercise and do whatever else with.
And then we have a piece of plastic.
Other than gaming.
We have a piece of plastic you can put your Wiimote and nunchuck in.
Yeah, I always forget about the gun. The zapper, you know, always comes in last one.
And whatever those announcements may have been, they were really weak after the knowledge that those things would be there anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these things, either in form or in concept, were there back when the Wii was announced. It was like, here's a picture of this thing. You stick it in a gun, or you stick it in a wheel, or whatever. And it's like, all right, you're finally announcing that. You know, you're making it official, but...
You showed us a prototype
last year. Yeah.
Of it's like, what that would look, or how that would work.
Yeah. The concept of that idea is already in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Take it somewhere else.
The wheel idea had already been implemented by, I think, Ubisoft.
By third parties?
Yeah. By a launch game.
Yeah.
A launch title. The board was... You know, it's a board. You know, I would say that's new and great looking, but it's a board. You just showed us a board for us to stand on and kind of move a little bit with. But, man, I just don't see the appeal of that. And we talked about it on Wednesday. I said, as a guy who likes to really play video games, I was underwhelmed by what Nintendo had to show me. I did not feel like they were talking to me.
They weren't.
They weren't.
Yeah.
And right, that who were they talking to? Can you put your finger on it? Can you figure it out? Did they miss message, or were they just literally aiming at somebody else?
They're literally aiming at somebody else.
Because they were talking, I can't figure out who that is.
They were talking to every single, again, you didn't see this, but like every 10, 15 minutes, whenever they would kind of shift course, they'd show a montage of all the reaction that the Wii and the DS had gotten in mainstream media. That's who they were talking to. Mm. They were talking to them. Look what else we've got that's going to pick up all these people who were you know, all these old folks in retirement homes who are playing bowling now.
Well,
all
you know,
these
my,
different things like, you know.
Such a, man,
my
I
uncles,
can't believe
who absolutely loved the Wii, and,
yeah.
You know, I let my cousin borrow it because, you know, we weren't doing anything with it, and they loved it, and they're going to get some, and they loved playing the baseball and the golf, and that sort of thing right there, that Wii Fitness, they will eat it up.
They will.
I guess I have to back off of pretending that that's a fictional demographic, but it certainly seems like a really gossamer, like, intangible demographic to me. I guess I'll sort of upgrade myself to admitting that. I mean, it generates a lot of hype, this promise of all these, you know, of all the retirees and, you know, the...
Somebody's buying the systems.
No, I know that they're buying the systems, but this kind of goes back to the same thing that I keep trying to say. Somebody's buying the systems, it doesn't matter if you can't push through a lot of games. And if you're occasionally coming out with some, you know, decent little piece of software, that's not enough. And particularly if all of these things that you're... I think they're relying too heavily on...
What's it not enough for, though?
What do you mean?
You say it's...
Well, okay, you can sell the systems, but a lot of the money comes from the games. We've always known that the systems aren't what generate money. It's the games that generate money. Because
well, except for Nintendo. Nintendo does generate money from systems.
But I don't think it's enough. I don't think simply selling... I think if they had 20 million systems out there and no games for it, it would still be disastrous for them. They need to be able to sell games. And I know that they're talking about selling to these demographics, but I don't think they're going to sell as much as they think they're going to sell. I think just some news stories about old guys, you know, getting tennis elbow off of a Wiimote. Seriously, this is what's like selling these people, because it's a total novelty. And I just, I think that it's all flash and no substance. I really do. I don't know why I feel
that way. I think
you're
just looking at it from the wrong perspective. I mean, that particular demographic is never going to buy as much as the hardcore gamer demographic, which I think probably makes up, well, I saw a thing recently, is over 50% of total game sales. Just, you know, the 10% of gamers make up more than 50% of game sales. So
yes.
If they go
yes.
after a non-hardcore demographic, of course, they're going to sell less, but if they can get more... You know,
right.
a larger audience and sell less to more people, they may not.
I think
you know,
the theory is that in pursuing those people, they lose that 10% that makes up 50% of the sales, and that's where they're going.
Yeah.
You lose the hardcore.
It's a gamble.
And whether you want to add to your hardcore base or not, that doesn't matter. If you lose them, you are in trouble. And you can't. You just can't.
I won't go that far yet. I think I'm going to have to wait another year before I see. You know, I got to see some numbers and
well,
see what it works
I mean,
out
I'm not trying to be an armchair analyst here. I'm just looking at what there is. I know how much I like to buy systems, and I know how much I like to play games. And I have no interest in the system whatsoever. And it kind of angers me because so much of the attention is shifted towards what Nintendo is supposedly doing with the system, the direction that they're going with it, and, you know, how they're revolutionizing what we're doing. It looks like a bad parlor trick to me, a really bad trick. And I think that people are buying into it, and they're going to find that there's not a lot of substance there. And then I think in the long run, that's not going to do us any favors, again, as an industry and as enthusiasts of that industry. I don't know. But we're going to have to keep having this discussion over the next year because...
Yeah. Well, it's not going away.
No, it's not.
It's going to be something we have to watch play out.
A year ago, I loved the idea of that console. Now, I really hate it.
You're second-guessing that. I second-guess that move as well because... What it's starting to see, and someone has mentioned this before, is that they're turning into an accessory-centric console.
Mm-hmm.
A gimmick. Well, I mean, the gimmick is that whole motion control thing. That is their gimmick on that. But it's becoming that gimmick, that novelty, that, you know, this is our hook. And I know Nick in the chat room saying, if that hook doesn't work, once that hook stops working.
It's all they've got.
Yeah.
It's all it is. It isn't like they've added a hook to some kind of basic intrinsic value of the system. It's the system is the hook. That's it. It's a GameCube with a hook.
Yeah. Yes. It is. And it was...
And yes, it's the cheapest of all the three systems, but it's just an expensive hook. I'm looking forward to Smash Brothers. Again, I'm not going to buy it. This is stuff I'm going to go over to your houses and play. But there are things that I would like to see, but I just... it just frustrates me, man. The system just frustrates me. And the way they handled it really frustrates me. They could have done better.
For the longest time, Nintendo was branded as the kiddie system, is that they were making games for the kids and that sort of thing.
Now they're the old man system.
they jumped a generation, and they've changed their gears there. So let's move, I guess we really hit the Nintendo topics there. You know, we've got Galaxy in November, Metroid in October, is it? Is it going that way?
I don't think they announced Metroid. I know Smash Bros. Is December.
Well, yeah, I know. It's like October, November, December. But it may be Metroid and Galaxy in November, and then Smash in December. And then Mario Kart in sometime in winter of 2008.
I will get Mario Kart when it comes out. And my interest in Smash Brothers is starting to wane.
You know,
as we get closer to it.
You know, I could sit here and take up a lot of time doing this, but I could list you... just a ton of games coming out for the 360, be it this year or next year, that I'm really looking forward to. I could pretty much do almost the same thing for the PS3. The PS3 showed off some stuff finally that I'm like, okay, that looks great. I could now start buying some games and quit curing cancer. that's a bad thing. But with Nintendo, I can list three games, I think. This year and next year so far.
Chatrim says Metroid is in August.
Wow.
Really?
Is it really?
August Metroid. All right. Hey,
they could use that.
Yeah,
they need something that soon.
Put a link in there if you can find it. But I've got Metroid, Smash Brothers, Galaxy, Mario Kart. I got four games coming out between now and February of 2008, and I haven't heard a word on anything else. On anything else.
The only thing outside of those that even interests me is Umbrella Chronicles. And that's the only third-party game I can think of.
Okay, you got five.
Yeah.
Fine. What's beyond? And that was the thing. And just as Jeremy was saying earlier, that I think this was a showcase for all their, hey, here's what's coming out this winter, buy our stuff for Christmas and holidays and stuff. Yeah. There was no look into the future. Sony had a few looks into the future there. But there was nothing that was beyond... basically January
maybe,
or February.
Maybe that's all going to be Tokyo Game Show now.
I would love to. You know,
that's in September.
They've got to have something.
That's what I'm hoping is that...
This may be one of the biggest Tokyo Game Shows ever.
Yeah.
They're saving
up. If they're going to save everything for home territory, you know.
They've always saved some really, really juicy stuff for the Tokyo Game Show. So, and I noticed that somebody in the chat room said that they're supposed to have MGS4 playable at the Tokyo Game Show, whereas it's not at
E3. Right.
But maybe that's where all the big announcements will be this year. Maybe that's the new face.
Well, for them.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, at least.
Yeah.
I don't think that everybody's going to do that. I don't know. It seems like a lot of people are picking and choosing which events they choose to, you know, where they want to make their announcements.
And, of course, we've got PAX coming up.
We do have PAX coming up, which I think is going
to... Scott's super excited.
I am, because I get to
and
go.
I honestly think that PAX is going to absorb...
At least some of that overflow.
Well, here's the thing, is that E3 had grown to a point where a lot of the mass, you know, a lot of the biomass at E3 was the enthusiast crowd. It wasn't industry people. It was guys like us. It was people who had, you know, in one way or another found a way to go there, afford the trip, or do whatever they had to do to actually get in and see what they wanted to see, and then sort of, you know, spread the word out through the rest of their gaming, you know, brothers and sisters in the community. That's what it was. It was the enthusiast crowd that made it so huge toward the end, at least from what I could see being there. And, I think that PAX is the only thing set to absorb that. It's the only thing. E3 has gone extremely isolationist. Game Developers Conference is more or less the same way. Nobody can afford to go to TGS.
Yeah, no.
And with the exception of smaller things like QuakeCon or BlizzCon, you know, which are very specific, you've got PAX.
And you've got E for All, which is brand new. And I don't know how that's going to be. You know, I thought about going to that. I've changed my mind because it's their first one, and I want to see how that goes. And if it goes well, then I'll look at it and probably go next year.
That's something I would have loved to have gone to for the first time.
Yeah.
Because it's such an upstart, because its whole reason for existing is is due to the way that E3 was handled.
I may still change my mind. I've still got until I think September 1st to register for under a cheap price and
right.
be able to go there. So I still haven't totally written it off, but we'll see about that. So
ain't nothing wrong going to an event for the first time.
It's not, but there's money involved. There's lots of money involved because I'll tell you what.
I'd be going to PAX.
I'll tell you what I did. I have flown from Atlanta to Vegas in first class there to come back. It was all an upgrade for whatever reason. There was a problem at the airport, and they upgraded our seats. But I've flown in coach from Vegas back to Atlanta. I'll never do that again. If it's a 4, 5, whatever hour flight, it's putting me in first class, and that's like a lot of money. So I'm going comfortably from Atlanta to Seattle for 6 hour flight. If I'm going to Atlanta and L.A., I'm doing the same thing. Because that is just not comfortable for me. I'm huge. that's why I've got the pipes joystick. So what did you think about, we've hit on Nintendo. Let's jump into Microsoft here real quick before we get on to Sony. What did we, basically all of us were here except for you, James, for when we talked about it Wednesday night. So go into your thoughts of that.
My first impression.
Did you watch it on G4? Or did you watch it on stream?
I tried to watch it as much as I could, but all I had was a TV for G4. I couldn't afford the stream at work. My bandwidth was too tight, which is part of the reason possibly that I had such a dim view of it. I mean, I'd like to say just briefly that. I don't know what's more annoying.
It's like, at times like this I wish we could swear on air.
Oh, man. That's why I'm talking so slow.
You got to think about it.
I don't know what bothers me more. The fact that pack of fools is so bad at what they do, or that they honestly derive some kind of joy knowing how much people hate them for how bad they are at what they do. It's like they're immune to criticism because they somehow draw energy like out of this cloud of hatred. That's, it's like, oh, we stink at doing this, so we're going to fix it, And then there's this thing that I saw today that was obviously a replay of something, but they were talking about interrupting the Halo thing. And so they're like, okay, so we're going to play it, and, we're sorry we did that, we're going to play it now, and it's uninterrupted form. And then they, showed the E3 2006 trailer. And so I got the joke, 10 seconds into the trailer. And it's like, okay, yeah, all right, yes, picking up his helmet. Yes, there's the okay, I get it, And then they come back, and they're like, they're so happy with themselves because they pulled this great joke off. And it's like, maybe if you just, I don't know, be a little more professional. Do you have any idea what you are? they're just so bad at their jobs. And that might be part of why I didn't like any of what I saw.
Right,
but.
Yeah.
What I did see, I couldn't get past the idea that the only thing anybody had to do was show me a video of four people playing Rock Band. They didn't want to show me Rock Band on the screen. They wanted to show me four people playing Rock Band. That's basically all I feel like I saw for a long time.
I listened to our show Wednesday back a couple of nights ago, whenever it was. I listened to our Wednesday show, and Jeremy said it best in the sense that we know what people look like when they play Rock Band. We know what people look like when they play Guitar Hero.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Exactly what they look like, and it's not entertaining for us.
Yeah, I needed to see everything but that. Mm-hmm. I needed to see what the screen looked like. I needed to see not just. And the thing that bothered me was they only showed what it looked like when everybody was playing on one screen. I wanted to see comparisons of, here's what it looks like when everybody's playing from a different location. Here's some details about how it's going to work and all this other stuff. But no, it was like four morons on stage playing this thing and the camera just pointing at them, and I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I'm past the point of being, cajoled and tricked into loving them. I know what I like. Just show it to me, man. Just give me the information cleanly, efficiently, accurately. I don't even care.
That's asking a lot from me, G4.
No, this goes beyond G4.
Yeah.
This goes
They were getting their feed, I think, from everybody was getting their feed from the same thing.
It's too much theatrics.
Yeah.
And, I thought that was something that we were supposed to be getting away from. I don't need to play around when I want to know stuff anymore. It's all out there. It's all, all this, hardly anything was new. It was all out there. They were just making confirmation at this point. I just want people to be very respectful of that information and how badly we want it. I don't even care if you kill a guard and it bugs out and floats in midair.
You're fine with that.
Yeah. I don't care. Just get the information to me quickly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was, I don't know. I mean, I was happy to see more of some of the things that I saw, you know. But it was just a lot of stuff was just a newer video of something we saw last year.
Yeah, just new stuff we hadn't seen before. The Call of Duty 4 playthrough was nice to see that finally get some time of someone actually playing through it, than just the trailers and stuff like that we've seen.
It looked good. It was, you know, the game looked good. The person playing it wasn't doing a very good job. The people that they put in front of these games to play them for the videos that are then going to be shown to the world.
Reggie Bush and the guy, I can't remember his name.
I was like, when they drug, like,
Cliffy B,
adult Cliffy B out on stage.
To play Gears of War.
To play Gears of War badly, you know, and then, like, just let him sort of trundle back stage and, I don't know, collapse on the couch in the green room or whatever it was he did. Like, that was just weird. I didn't understand that. But, I don't know. I just want more information. I want it fast. That's all I can really say. I was happy to see some more Assassin's Creed. I was happy to see anything else about Mass Effect. Mass Effect's my number one for this year. You know what upset me? I was a little upset that they weren't talking to the game's writer. I mentioned this briefly, either last show or the previous one, that I'd read the prequel novel for Mass Effect. It was written by a guy who works at BioWare who's writing the game, Drew Karpyshyn. And it was pretty good, a good introduction to the world and everything, but I really respected how focused they were on the writing in the game. And so they talk endlessly, as if it's the most important feature in the game, which maybe it is, about the conversation system, about how naturalistic it is and how smooth and easy it is to move from one disposition as your character to another. They just talked endlessly about that, but didn't talk to the author. They had, you know, they had different developers from the studio there, but I didn't see anything from him. And since so much of it is focusing around a system used to manipulate his dialogue, I really, really would have liked to have seen something of what he had to say. But, you know, so that was a little disappointing. Like, I was hoping to hear something a little deeper into that, not just to hear people paraphrase everything that had been said already a year ago, which is what I felt like the entire conference was.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll cover Sony's presentation and, you know, what we thought of that. And I don't know how many of you got to watch that, or at least, do you know some of the things that were shown there as well?
A little bit.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that coming up here next, right here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. Yeah, they are, aren't they? Welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. We were just talking about... What were we talking about? I had my headphones on before you guys.
Just remakes and reimaginings and various other ways of doing the same thing in a different way.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Well, anyway, let's jump into... we'll jump in and jump out, because I know what you guys want to talk about as far as Sony's concerned. At their press conference... like I said, I enjoyed it more than I did the other two press conferences. Not that it was really that hard to achieve. Just tell me about some games I'm really excited about playing, and you pretty much have done a good job. They started off in Home, which was interesting to see. It was nice to see a little bit more of that. And, you know, am I excited about it? I guess so. It's a neat little way to interact. It's not pushing me over the edge for anything. It's not my I can't wait for it type of thing. I'm like, okay, neat idea. Can't wait for it to, you know, for it to be there and be done with, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. So they started off in Home, then they talked about the PSP getting the redesign, and then, of course, news came out today that the original PSP is just going to be phased out. When that's gone, it's gone, and the PSP Lite is the only thing you'll be able to do. They kind of have a history of doing this, or they're gaining one.
I'd say they have, the contemporary practice.
They're making a tradition out of it.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
At Sony, is basically their motto is get it while you can, before you have to pay more for something completely different. But they showed off some really cool games. If you guys haven't seen it, I would suggest checking out Echo Chrome. That was really neat.
That was very interesting.
That was the first video they showed, and they said, hey, it's not got a lot in their graphics department, but it's got a whole lot of gameplay to it, and it looks really, really cool. That'll be out for PSP and for the PlayStation Network. I don't know when, but it's coming. Also, they showed more of Little Big Planet, which looked a lot... it's a really cool game. I don't even know if you'd qualify it as a game. It's just interesting the way it does. There's some objectives of saying, here, get from here to here. You can't really die, but you can get from here to here and have fun doing it. There's a create on the fly, all these different things. There's a video out there for that. It's another one I would suggest you watch. Of course, they showed Metal Gear. They showed off Uncharted, Drake's Fortune, which looks like a combination of, like, Tomb Raider and...
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things. It was on the cover of a Game Informer, like, a long time ago. That, like, really made me raise my eyebrow. That was the first thing where I was like, this is a nice, you know, meaty action-adventure title that I really, really think I could get my hands around. And when I saw that it was PS3 exclusive, I was like, oh, we're getting close to that threshold where I'll pick one up.
Yeah.
You give me another half a dozen titles in the next... you know, 5 or 6 months that are as interesting as this, you know, all right, I'll give you my money.
Yeah, we saw Heavenly Sword. We saw Lair. We didn't care. But we saw Heavenly Sword, shots of that. What else did we see? What else did they show? They showed off Chewbacca holding a PSP for some reason.
And he couldn't keep it.
Didn't care. For me, just didn't care. They showed off, again, every now and then they would go back into Home and kind of show you different parts of what Home had to offer. And then, of course, they showed Killzone 2, the footage from Killzone 2, which looks good. And I'm glad they finally, you know, it's like, hey, it took a year and a half or so to get around to showing us more than what you did at the E3-05, for God's sake. So anyway, that was Sony's press conference. I know I'm telling you right here, you've already seen it or know about it, but, you know, give it a look-see if it interests you at all. Nintendo, skip. Just skip that one. During the press conference, they said, hey, by now you know that we've cut the price of our 60 gig down to $500, and now we've got this new 80 gig that's going to be taking its place at the $600 range. There you go. Didn't say anything else until the next day. The next day was, this is how I wanted to open the show, and I am not that great of a writer to even try to attempt it. But this whole thing reminded me of the Abbott and Costello sketch of Who's On First. That's exactly... that's what it reminded me of. Sony, right. Sony Europe is talking, and Sony America is telling them, no, this is what we're going to do, and it all leads back to third base, which is the 60 gigs here, and you know, the 80 gig is here. And then, of course, it finally got confirmed that the 60 gig wasn't going to be hanging around much longer. You were going to have the one SKU. So far, hell, what's to stop them from doing more, you know? Oh, here's another one that we can throw out and charge you $650 or whatever the case. It comes with two games. I don't know. I don't know what their plan is, but you guys obviously have some thought on this.
Well, for like a minute a week ago, I thought that they were in really good shape.
Yeah, exactly.
I really did. I know that it wasn't actually a price cut.
It was that brief period when they said that the 60 gig is $500, and then
That's it.
There
so
was
they
no
had
80.
Not only, you know, given us a top end of $500, but they had also reduced themselves absolutely to one SKU, both of which I think were really, really good things. I'm a huge fan of the one SKU thing. I don't like this multiple SKUs. I think it confuses people. I think it makes for some strange stuff, you know, in the user base, particularly like on Microsoft's side when you have a version that's fundamentally different and that it doesn't come with a hard drive. I think it causes problems. But, for the length of a deep breath last week, I thought that they were doing really, really good. And now, like, I know maybe they're up to something, but with this entirely new model and then the further announcement that they're getting rid of the 60 gig, or like... it wasn't even like a very affirmative thing. They didn't say, you know, when we're absolutely, we don't feel like carrying the 60s anymore. It was more like, well, you know, when we pretty much just can't find any of them anywhere, I guess that's it. I guess
we won't make any more.
I mean, well, you know, it's not like we're stopping production. We're just not making them anymore. Yeah. It was like the most passive aggressive announcement I've ever heard in my life. And I don't know where to stand with them. I know that I'm still pleading for reasons to buy the system, which is that's just absurd. Like, I'm trying really hard to spend $600 to $800. I'm really trying, and they're just not helping me. Like, you know, like they're beating me away hands and feet, like every way that they possibly can. And so now we're back down to at least a future where there will only be one SKU. But I don't know if I trust that anymore.
No, yeah, I was going to say,
it's
how
like,
do you know?
Okay, well, they say that, but what's going to happen in another 3 months? It's like, why should I buy that 80 gig? Because chances are, you know, I don't know, top of the year, they'll just do something else.
There
you know?
Was a rumor today about a 40 gig version. It's a rumor, okay? I'll say it here, and I'll say it again when I'm done. Rumor that a 40 gig version with absolutely no backwards compatibility for $400, I think it was. Big, big rumor, and probably just somebody throwing, you know.
Probably an industry analyst.
Yeah.
No they love kidding. To make yeah. wild predictions.
They like to throw things at the wall
and see what
sticks.
I don't think I've ever
heard
an industry analyst make an accurate prediction in the 10 years that I've been reading industry analysts.
Yeah, they probably make a bunch of different
which is kinda sad because
statements in whichever one
statistically,
works.
Statistically, they should have at least made a few.
Yeah.
You know, unless they just say, something's about to happen.
Yeah. Well, the latest one I heard, like, he's going on about how, well, I think when they run out of the 60 gig, they'll introduce a new $600 SKU and drop the 80 to,
and just keep kind of stacking.
And I was like, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. I could kind of see where you might make that kind of prediction. But then he went and said, but I think around March of next year, we'll see the 80 gig drop to $400.
Well, what is that?
No, man. You're going to see a $200 price drop over the course of, what, 6 months? No.
I mean, I can't even get past the idea that there's anything good in this revolving price structure of theirs, like where you're constantly introducing and then downgrading hardware. Like, it's got to be horrible. I don't know who that could possibly be good for. I don't know how to make the determination of, like, you know, okay, when should I jump on the merry-go-round? Like, at what point is it safe, you know? I'm back to feeling just like I do every time I think I need to upgrade my PC. Well, if I just wait another 6 months, you know, the new Googleplex processor tour will be out, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, but if I wait 6 more months, you know, the bejesus chips will be out or something, you know? And it's like, well, then maybe I'll just stick with what I've got, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or just buy what there is right now. And I don't know whether fish or cut bait with these guys. So
If they had some sort of recent history of, I don't know, treating their customers really good, it'd be a little different. But at every turn, they've done something to make us mistrust them a little bit more. And so when they announce a price drop, we all, who've been watching the industry, immediately start looking for, okay, where's the catch?
Yeah.
And then you find out that, they're not making the 60 gig anymore. So the immediate question becomes, what happens when you run out? Oh, well, we're not worried about that. We got a lot of supply for it. No. Because at some point you're going to run out. What happens then? And, you know, they won't answer that question. You know, because they can't. Like, because neither answer is good. Either there are no more $500 systems to be had and you have to pay $600, which is bad. Or the 80 gig drops to $500, which is bad if you're buying the 80 gig now. So there is no good answer for them. But you know, they've put themselves in a situation where they can't be transparent with us and they can't give us accurate information, and that's just a terrible, terrible thing. If I can't trust them, why am I going to buy your stuff?
Yeah. And this is to say nothing of the fact that they're doing all this jiggery pokery with the backwards compatible chip, the Emotion Engine,
right? Yeah.
Yanking that, like, I don't even know the length and the breadth of what that actually means. So, but the
what
simple fact that it was so dicey to begin with, and then now it's like something completely different. It's like, well,
it's now a software emulation.
Doesn't it support fewer things now?
Yes.
Okay.
So they
basically removed value from the system.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Emotion Engine was basically stick pretty much any PS2 game in there, or PS1 or whatever, any of the older system games, any of them, put it in there, it'll play. This one is a lot like Microsoft. If it's on our list, it'll play, because you have to download an update for that particular game to make it run on that system.
Right.
And so now, you know, get your 60 gig if that's what you want.
And admittedly, that was an issue
the problem.
With them, with Microsoft.
I don't want a PS3 right now because there's not enough stuff on it. I may want one in the future. But in the future, I may have to pay another $100 for it. What's that?
Yeah, but PS3s from the future aren't as good as PS3s right now, apparently. And you think, you know, you know, when you're making stuff up in the future, you'd make them better than what we have now. But, like, I don't want them to keep taking things out.
They've just created this big cloud of uncertainty around what's going to be available. And it just doesn't feel good.
No. I mean, beyond the fact that it's absolutely some of the best entertainment I've ever had. Like, these guys need a reality show. Like, there needs to be a camera team following.
Put Kaz Hirai and Ken Kutaragi and all these guys in a house for
either that
6
or like,
weeks.
No. So you have like one team following Sony Europe, one team following the executives from Sony America.
Watch what happens when we mix these two together.
And then they have to like come together and compete for, you know, consumer awareness and mind share.
We've removed the emotion engine from Ken's PS3. Let's see if he notices.
We've secretly switched your hard drive, your hard drive space to from 60 to 80 or 80 to 60 or nil, whatever the case may be next. Because you got to think maybe at some point they're like, well, here's our version that doesn't have a hard drive whatsoever inside of it.
Yeah, which is...
Yeah, whatever.
No, well, that one I don't consider to be whatever.
But can't
that
you,
one.
But doesn't the PS3 support the fact that you can plug your own hard drives into it? You can.
Yeah, it does. Which makes the whole hardware upgrade even more bonkers than anything else. I don't get it.
Apparently,
all of this confusion for 20 gigs that I could have gotten off the shelf for next to nothing.
From what I understand, 80 gigs are cheaper to manufacture in bulk now than 60 gigs.
Okay.
Which
it's
makes sense, but it's not worth all this confusion.
It can't be. I mean, I don't know, man. If we can ever figure it out, even if it's not necessary, like, if we can ever get an executive of any company that's responsible for consumer electronics to talk to us and just shine the Klieg lights down on all of this, we really need to get them on the show. Because I just don't understand. I mean, because there's a lot of, like, well, this just can't be cost-effective. But honestly, we don't really know. I want somebody to say something that makes any of this make sense. Like, make some room in my head for me to understand why this is happening. I want to give them some slack, but I just can't. I can't find it. So, if anybody's got the answers, I'm totally willing to listen. And then laugh.
what about the good thing that came out about the PS3?
Tell us. Hold on, I'm thinking.
Because that made me feel really good, which made me feel even more bad about whether I was, you know.
Okay, so we're talking about the Mark Rain interview, right?
Yes.
About Unreal Tournament 3.
Yes. Yeah.
And that it's an exclusive on PS3.
Limited exclusive.
It is a timed exclusive.
Yeah.
On PS3, but the meat of that entire conversation came down to this, is that Unreal Tournament 3 on the PS3 will have full mouse and keyboard support. Real first-person shooter controls. And that it was alluded to in the interview that this is why it is a timed exclusive on the PS3.
Well, that and one
that
other thing.
That and the fact that, it's not that. It's the other thing. It's the fact that any mod available for the PC version of UT3 will be available for the PS3 version.
That's
which
just
I find
absolutely huge. If you get even 6 games in the next 6 months that can do that, I'll have a PS3. Just for the sheer amount of stuff I can do with mods to these games.
Here's the thing about both of those things. I'm like Fox Mulder here. I want to believe. Okay? I really do. But I don't. No, okay, I mean, the mouse and keyboard, that's one thing. But you've got a lot to get over there. I mean, is it going to be real? And I think everybody knows what I mean by real. Are you going to have, you know, unlocked turn rates?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to allow me to map my controls as I see fit? You know, all of the things. Is it going to act precisely the same way it does on my PC? Is the interface going to support, you know, a mouse?
Right.
All those things.
Not just a thumbstick mapped through a mouse.
Right. Yeah, which is terrible.
Yeah.
It's actually worse than a thumbstick.
Yeah.
It is. And far worse than it. So, you know, is there going to be any kind of matching system where it's like, you know, the thumbstick crowd is stuck playing against the thumbstick crowd? And you know, are you basically creating like a third division where there's PC gamers and then two separate divisions on the console? One who are using mouse and keyboard, one who are using thumbsticks. Like, I don't know. These are questions they need to answer. And then the mods, the downloadable content, would, I mean,
they make it sound like it's a completely open system.
Yeah, and I, only through implication, you and I were talking about this earlier, he said specifically, well, you know, we're having to work with Microsoft on this. Yes, you know, we're going
to
do this.
Like, we're going to get mods to the Microsoft version, but we have to go through Microsoft.
Because you see, they're a closed system. Yeah. And we were, you know, and the implication was, okay, so you're saying Sony is an open system?
That's what he said.
But so you and I were trying to figure out, does that mean, is he specifically referring to the avenue of distribution for downloadable content, or is he referring at some level to the system itself? That by allowing user-made mods, you're potentially giving a lot of frightening access to the hardware. You know, I don't know. He wasn't that specific. He was just being kind of snarky, which is fine because I liked what he had to say. But I don't. I feel like we're going to get flim-flammed somewhere. I feel like things aren't really going to turn out to be what we want them to be, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to say. It was a big announcement. It was a huge announcement. Downloadable content that's user-like mods,
mm-hmm.
you know, like mods on a console game?
Right.
Like, that's... I honestly can't think of the last time that happened, if it's ever happened.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I mean, I jokingly said Atari earlier, but...
The only time I remember, and it didn't come out here, but the first Tenchu, which had a level editor.
Yeah.
In Japan, they released Tenchu Green Label, which was 100 user-created levels.
Right.
Wow. Cool.
And, of course, there was also the Dex Drive thing that allowed people to swap levels yeah. over the internet and saves, load them onto their memory card. Because I was big into the Tenchu level creation.
No, I remember that. I remember
it was a lot of fun. But it doesn't happen often at all.
And I have a whole... Again, I don't know the extent to which they're actually talking about
hasn't
mods.
Historically.
But... I'm not sure how close a comparison that can even be, because it was just the level editor in the game.
Yeah,
so you were still dealing with just
it wasn't a mod. It was just a yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's an enormous thing. I mean, it's he's saying a lot by saying that. So.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. We got to take a break here, and the commercial break is going to take us all the way up to the top of the hour, and then we will be back 6 minutes after the hour. Be taking your calls for B.A. Penguin and Nick, who is going to be calling into the show and telling us about his experience at E3, and we can take your questions and anything you have about games that were shown on the floor, and he'll answer your questions as well as our questions that we have also. It's all coming up next here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. And don't forget to check out the website, mouselook.com, or head on over to evilavatar.com as well. You can join us inside the chat room, as well as you can call in if you'd like to. You can email us, ingamechat@gmail.com. You can do that. Our phone number, 334-272-9228. And right now on the phone line, speaking of the phones, in fact, we've got more than one line, so you can actually call in and talk to him. We've got Nick Paleo, I believe, is the... let me see if I got that up. Good. Hey, Nick, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thanks for calling in tonight, and welcome back home from E3.
Yeah, thank you. It feels good to be home, indeed.
I'm sure it does. Now, I was saying that we were talking earlier. I don't know if you caught the very beginning of the show, but we were talking earlier about how they were just... I know James and Jeremy here weren't really happy with the way that... That E3 was handled. Then and I mentioned to them how what you had to go through as a journalist and had to catch the shuttle buses to all the different places to do the interviews.
Yeah, it was pretty frustrating. I think from most people I talked to, everyone was happy with the size of the show.
Right.
It was just how spread out it was that was the downside, and a lot of people missed appointments or were late to appointments and things like that. But what was really great is everyone got a lot of hands-on time with games and a lot of face-to-face time with developers. I mean, most of the meetings, you were, 3 to 8 journalists in a room with, Peter Molyneux or, someone from the PGR4 team or, anything. And even like on Sony's booth, even though it wasn't really private meetings, it was open, you sat down on a couch next to the developer, and it was usually just one-on-one, or maybe one other person was there with you. So
you said you did an interview while one of the devs were just kicking back, laying on the bed.
Yeah, that was the Gamecock setup. was at the Hotel California, and the Hotel California is really like a kind of like a grungy motel right on the beach. And the whole upper part of it, they had a big deck, and out on the big deck they had a grill and, you know, a cooler and stuff.
Burgers
and,
burgers and beer going on out on the deck while you're sitting there giving an interview.
And then all the hotel rooms were converted into, like, little showing sessions. But they kept the beds and everything in it. So, you know, the one game I went and saw, the dev was just kind of, like, kicking back and chilling on the bed, and I was sitting on a chair, and, you know, they were just showing off their game. So it was kind of surreal.
Well, I know a couple of guys here probably have some questions here for you. We were talking about earlier about Mark Rain at PS3. You wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, I had actually talked to him right after the Midway press conference. I wanted to introduce myself because, obviously, you know, he posts on evilavatar.com and, you know, is familiar with the site. So I had introduced myself, and we got to talking a little bit and stuff. And I said, what's up with the whole PS3 exclusivity thing? You know, does it mean it's not a 360 version coming? Because it really wasn't too clear to people that were there. He said, no, you know, there's a 360 version coming. He said, you know, they didn't announce the 360 version for quite a while after the PS3 version was announced. Because if you remember, that the PS3 version of UT2 was announced pretty close to the beginning of the PS3's life cycle there. I think it was one of the first games that they entered in that partnership with Sony.
Right.
To bring the Unreal 3 engine to the PlayStation 3 platform. And he basically just said, you know, it's just the 360 version wasn't going to be ready this fall. You know, they started it much later, and, you know, their priorities were the PC version and, you know, the PS3 version to get that up and running. And, you know, the way things ended up was the 360 version wasn't going to be out until sometime next year. And so Midway saw an opportunity to sell that to Sony as, you know, add an exclusive tag to it. So basically, it was just like a capitalization on, you know, something that was going to happen anyway.
Cool. Well, do you guys have any questions for him about any games that might be going on? I know he saw Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I'd be interested in any what impressions you had of Assassin's Creed.
I played the PS3 version, actually, which I thought was kind of good because I saw the 360 version twice, both in Microsoft conference and Ubisoft's conference.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw it, but the Ubisoft conference, they ran the same demo, but they played it completely differently. Like how they approached the kill and what happened, and the chase was completely different, the path that the AI took and what happened. So that was pretty cool to see that actually, you know, work in that sense. So when I got my hands on time with it, I actually played the PS3 version. And the PS3 version is pretty far behind, but it's definitely lacking behind 360 right now in visuals and polish. But they had said, you know, when they get closer to release, that it is going to be identical to the 360 version.
So they're not releasing at the same time then, huh?
What's that?
The PS3 version and the 360 version aren't simultaneous release?
Yeah, that's the plan, so.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I thought they were coming out at the same time for both systems, but apparently not.
No, they are.
Oh, okay. I thought you said that they weren't. So they're going to, but right now the PS3 version is just is way behind on the 360. Well, I guess so.
Yeah, it's like from what I could tell, like it just didn't have a clean look to it like the 360 version does, and the 360 version was like real pure and white looking, where the 360 version was, while the PS3 one almost had like a brown tint to it and a lot of rough edges. Some of the animations were a little choppy and stuff like that, but like I said, the developer assured me, you know, it'll match up identical to the 360 version by the time it's released. So basically, anyway, you know, what I got to do with it was, the developer was like, well, you know, you've seen the playthrough twice, so why don't you just, you know, basically run around. So I just kind of ran around the city, you know, checking things out and trying out the different controls. And, you know, controls took a little bit to get used to, but once you got the idea of what they were trying to accomplish with it, and that it's basically all contact-sensitive controls. But what they called it was kind of puppeteering, in that, you know, the top button on your controller is your head, and the left one is your left arm, the right one's your right arm, and the bottom one's your feet. So, I mean, once you got past that, it was pretty cool. I mean, there was a lot of things you can do and a lot of objects to interact with. You know, the way the crowd reacts to you and the way the crowd reacts to different things that happens, you know, it's just, it gives the world a lot of life to it. So the combat itself didn't seem as deep as I thought it was. It's a lot of timing presses for the buttons and stuff, and found that, like, button mashing really doesn't even work, which I guess, you know, is a good thing. It's not a button masher. It takes some skill and timing to...
Now, I'm not a fan of rhythm games getting into my action games.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's worth wondering, at least, whether a game that's made up predominantly of context-sensitive events, whether it's through movement or combat, like, you know, how comfortable that's going to be to play over a long period of time, you know?
Right.
Like, if there's ever any stretch of time when you can actually cruise control through your game, through the game. Not that you necessarily want to, but it just seems like context-sensitive stuff has always been, you know, we kind of think about it as a fairly intensive way of dealing with a particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't, you know, if there's an awful lot of that, I just don't know how it's going to feel. It's just something that's on my mind, you know, something that I'll be wondering.
My biggest fear with the game is how the mission structure and save system works, because we really haven't seen that. And because the game seems so open-ended from what they showed.
Yeah, it really,
you know,
does.
Like, I really don't know how they're going to work, like, a save system and stuff into that. And, you know, hopefully it's kind of like a save anywhere kind of thing, because it seems like the kind of game where you're going to want to try and do things a few times and not have to run back and do a whole bunch of other things first.
Well, and I'm also wondering, like you say, it's presented in such a way that we really look at it and think, you know, this is very open-ended, this is very much without barriers or borders, but, you know, they're always there in whatever the game is. Anything, no matter how deep the sandbox or broad it may be, it has walls. So I always think it's not a question of whether there are walls, but how they choose to implement them, how they guide your actions and your movements. And I just haven't had a good picture from any of the demos or videos that of how that's going to work. And I don't want it to be abrupt, you know. I'm back to wanting to have a lot of accurate information about it. I would like to know more of the realities. I mean, it's good that you got to play it. So I haven't been able to speak firsthand to anybody that has so far.
Tamarack in the chat room wants to know if you got to see the PC version.
No, I don't think they had the PC version there. I only saw the 360 and the PS3, and they only had the PS3 on two of the stations. They had, like, maybe eight stations of it, and there was only two PS3 ones. So, and it was running on the dev kit and stuff still, which, I mean, it was the first time I actually saw, like, the latest PS3 dev kit, and it looks like a 2U server. I don't know if you guys are familiar with server sizes and stuff for like, racks, but that's basically what it looks like.
Well, did you get a chance to check out one of James's games? Is Mass Effect?
Yeah, that's my number one for. Right
now. And I know you just posted something on Evil Avatar, 10 things about that. I guess you could go over those.
We could go down that list and I could talk about it. Mass Effect. You know, it's one of those games where it's been on my radar for a while. Obviously, I was looking forward to it. You know, screenshots and the videos they showed, you know, looked amazing, but honestly, seeing it in person is 10 times better than anything.
Oh, that's great to hear, because it can sometimes go either way, you know?
You
can be looking at a pair of videos and then see something in person and be either underwhelmed or, like, have all of your, you know, fanboyisms completely reaffirmed when you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I want to go with this game.
They fired that game up, and, like, you know, it starts off looking at your main character and it kind of panned back and showing, you know, the guy standing in, like, this space for it, and I was just like, wow. Like, it is, like, it's definitely by far the best-looking game that was at E3. I mean, not only just because it was photorealistic, but just the animations on the characters and the emotions in their face, and just the way the dialogue system works and how the camera pans back and forth, it's like watching dialogue in a movie.
Oh, that's great. That's good.
It's really well done.
Yeah, because you posted there on Evil Avatar, number 10 of the 10 things about Mass Effect was every line of dialogue in the game is being recorded. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? They're still recording that work, or what?
Yeah, they actually said that they've gotten most of it done, but they're still going back and tweaking some things up. Like, what you'll notice too is the choices that are in the text menus might only be like 3 or 4 words. Like, it's kind of like a theme of your response. But the dialogue that's said is a full on, but it's a lot more in depth than what you're actually choosing as the option. The option is just kind of like your guide, your emotion in it, your response to something, whether it's an evil response or a smart-ass response.
Right. The positive, neutral, or negative response, essentially.
Yeah, but it's more than that.
Okay.
And if you listen to the audio interview or the audio of the demo I posted, you can hear the dialogue clearly. And I had to cut it out because they asked us to. But they kind of go into a big spoiler of something that can happen. And the way it plays out and the options you're given are just so cut and dry. You know, there's like five choices. And, you know, they said, you know, only two things can happen depending on this. But down the road, this causes this, this, and this to happen. And in doing so, they said there's whole sections of the game that people never see, and they called it the water cooler effect, where basically even people on their own team would talk about saying, you know, oh, did you see what happened when so-and-so was on the beach and this? And they're like, what beach? I didn't see that. Because it's just,
I had plenty of those moments in my own history.
Yeah. So, no, it really impressed me. You know, the combat was something that a lot of people worried about because it's a lot more action-oriented. But the guy that was doing the demo basically said, you know, it's very forgiving. It's based on, you know, RPG rules. That is what governs it. So, you know, the higher your skill is in something that, you know, no matter what, you know, you might be off on your aiming or whatever, but, you know, it's still strongly governed by that skill. So.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad to hear more and more about it. I know that, not that I didn't like Knights of the Old Republic, but initially when I saw this game, I think as pretty much everybody else did, I just... In my head, you know, I jumped to the shortcut of saying, well, this is looks just like KOTOR in a space skin, you know, or like a different sci-fi mm-hmm. skin.
And then you saw more, and it kind of...
Well, and the more that I've seen, the less like it appears to be, and that's good. Not that I didn't like Knights, but I'm extremely happy to see that this is not the further development of some other franchise, that it is a completely unique... intellectual property. I'm really, really happy about it. And I even, in the back of my head, ever since that news came out a couple months ago that BioWare is developing some kind of MMO, I hold this secret prayer in my mind that it'll actually be set in the Mass Effect universe. But you know,
they're putting a lot of you know, like I think someone mentioned the novel written by Drew Karpyshyn, I think it's named.
Yeah, Karpyshyn.
Yeah, and actually I got a copy of it. Right here, they handed it out to us. So, you know, they're putting a lot of effort behind the story and behind the universe of it. And I think with all the effort, even that you know went into the art and the assets and everything involved with the game, that there's almost certainly going to be a sequel anyway.
Right. Well, and I know that in addition to the prequel novel, they've already spoken about, and there may be more specifics on this, but a second novel. That's in the works that's going to deal with further elements of the story. So I think we could be looking at, you know, layers of gameplay and then print story and then on, you know, and then more, you know, or print story, gameplay, print story, and then maybe more gameplay, which I really like, you know. I'm a big fan of, you know, science fiction in general, whether it's on screen in a video game or written. I love the whole thing and I like that they seem to be meshing an original story into several of these, or taking several of these disciplines, you know, and kind of combining them together. I really like it. It's exciting for me. This is exactly the sort of thing that I like to see. So it's nice to hear first-person impressions of how this
kinda,
stuff's going on.
It just amps your excitement, doesn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, I need something. It's not like I'm lacking for anything in the second half of this year.
They didn't show anything during the press con. I think we saw some video during a montage.
Uh-huh.
And that was pretty much it. So, I mean, if you wanted to see more, you kind of had to scour footage, like I've been doing for Burnout stuff, because I was just completely left by the wayside, which is fine. But, you know, I had to look all over the internet to get my videos and things like that. So, is that a dog you've got there, Nick?
Yeah, can you hear him? I even have the freaking door closed.
Yep. Well, it's no problem. You know, it's not a problem, but I was just like, well, what is that? Okay.
He's part beagle, so he...
That's what he sounded like. Yeah.
But so, like, we asked you this last night, or, well, I know Phil asked you this last night, but I'll ask you that again. What was your number one of show? What was your favorite of show? And then what was your least favorite?
You know, and it's so tough to pick this, and there's been somebody, and like I was telling Phil earlier last night after I got up, there's like a whole bunch of games that I forgot to even talk about, like
Stranglehold was one of them, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Assassin's Creed, and even another one tonight, Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway.
Mm-hmm.
They all just looked fantastic.
Well,
and it's like,
go ahead.
It's impossible to say that, you know, this is above and beyond the standout of the show. Because, honestly, I want every freaking one of them.
Yeah. Well, talk to us about Stranglehold, though, because you specifically told me earlier today that was one of the games you forgot to talk about. And
yeah,
all I've seen is another trailer of this.
That pissed me off because for a while, before I saw Mass Effect, really, that one was like one of my standouts of the show because I really feel like it's one of the first true successors of Max Payne.
And, oh, yeah.
Well, what it really does, I mean, first of all, the entire environment is pretty much destructible. You know, blowing pieces of walls off, blowing chairs apart, tables apart, you know, lights out. Everything is destructible. And there's even special pieces of the environment, like signs and you know, other various things that you can shoot on top of enemies, you know, like take them down that way. So, and then above and beyond that, everything you kind of interact with. For instance, if you're in a firefight and you're running along, like say you're in like a dining room and your guy sidesteps into a table, normally you're just going to sit there and run with you got the little like skiing effect going on your legs, right? Well, no, in this game, your guy kicks his legs up, slides across the table.
Hmm.
And like this happens with like everything, like a, you know, railing or steps and stuff. You don't just like smash to it, your guy finds a way to get over it or use it for cover or something like that. And then, like I keep bringing up tables, but amazing the game had a lot of tables in it. But you can kick tables over and use it for cover. But the thing is, then that cover is destructible, so eventually you got to get out of there and move.
Yeah, since everything is destroyed. You said there was a, is it a segment of button presses, or is it just like you kill enough guys and your meter builds up to where you can press one button and do the whole John Woo doves coming out of here?
Yeah. You get style points for killing guys doing crazy things like sliding down a railing and shooting guys, or like one sequence, I was in a museum, I jumped across the back of like a dinosaur bones that were hanging on, down the back of another set of dinosaur bones, jumped onto like a cart, slid on the cart, guys, the whole time, rolled off the cart, kicked the cart over, you know, cart for cover, and the whole time you're building up like these style points, and the more style points you have, the more moves you can do. I can't remember the exact name of the mode, but basically you get unlimited ammo and you just like start firing really fast. You know, that lasts for like 5 or 10 seconds, you can do something like that. Or, the one you were talking about, the quote unquote John move, which is, I think that was the four star style move, which is basically the top one. And basically it like freezes time, slows down, you see Chang'an fat dude like a 360 bring out, you know, the Desert Eagle shooting everybody in the room, the white doves are flying out, the classical music's playing. You know, it's just so cliched, but it's so cool. It was a lot of fun, you know, and it just the animations and stuff, like I said, just the simple fact that like everything that you touch it interact with, like things happen naturally instead of like feeling like you're playing like an arcade video game, you know, it really stood out to me.
There's a question in the chat room about the game. Violent P69 says, at any point do you see yourself losing control due to scripted environment interaction?
By the way, before you get to that, if anybody wants to call in and ask these questions, you're welcome to it. We've got two other empty phone lines that we can conference you in with Nick, and you can talk to him live on the air. 334-272-9228. So, I hate to interrupt on that one, but what Violent P was saying was that, do you find yourself losing control due to scripted environment interaction?
Which is something that has arisen in recent memory. The more people have become obsessive about scripted events and how beautiful they are in a game, a lot of times it, you know, goes right back to the idea of, well, it's more, the game should be more about player control than, you know, cinematic elements.
I don't think I really saw any scripted events. Like, everything I just described, like, everything I did there was freeform.
Right, all player initiated.
Right, you know, the only scripted events are the special moves, you know, like the 360 slowdown kind of a thing. But even then, I think only two of them really were actual, like, cutscenes kind of thing. Oh, and then another thing, now I remember the one other really cool special move. You can pinpoint spot. I think the guy said there's 27 damage locations on enemies' bodies. Okay,
jeez.
That cause a different reaction.
That's a lot.
Okay, and in this one special mode, you can pinpoint any one of the 27 locations, and it like follows the bullet into that location on the guy, and kind of like zooms out and does a little cinematic thing. And of course, the one that he kept showing was shooting the guy in the lower region, and
shoot him in the ghoulies.
Yeah, the reaction was pretty brutal. But I mean, like, you know, he showed it shoot him in the hand. The kneecap, and the head, you know, and it was brutal. But I mean, like I said, 27 different locations. That's
wow.
A lot of variety.
That's a lot for one little body, for one human body to find 27 parts. I mean, obviously you can generalize them to say here's the arm and the forearm and that sort of thing. But apparently, I guess there's a lot more. Here's the teeth, nick him in the ear or something like that. I don't know. 27 is a whole lot of stuff.
Right,
yeah, he didn't elaborate on what exactly they all were, but I mean, I probably saw like 6 or 7 just then. So I can't even imagine, like, you know, thigh, toes, who knows?
I took out 4 toes.
Another follow up on that one. He says, you mentioned sliding across a table. How much control do you have during that slide?
Well, the table slides, it just, like, he slides over and gets to the other side. So it's like, you know, you don't really, you can shoot while sliding across, but you can't, like, stop and stand on that table.
Right, so once you go into the motion of, like, okay, I'm going to go across this table and slide, kind of like in Gears when you hop over a piece of cover. In the sense that he's performing that animation, however, unlike in Gears when you have to go through that animation of hopping over cover, you can actually fire. While you're performing that animation, that slide, and that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, like the kitchen carts in the one part that I was like riding on, I was basically like riding on my stomach on that. You can kind of steer those actually, and like I said, I fell off of it because if you turn too hard, you tip the cart over and you fall off of it.
Oh wow!
So
the cart has physics, obviously. Do you have? What version did you play? 360 or PS3?
I played the PS3 version.
Okay.
But they had both again for that, and they, from what I can tell, they looked identical. Actually, I tried to play it on PC, and it locked up on me. So
lovely,
kind of sad.
There was another question. Here's this. Akuma had a question. Well, it's not necessarily about Stranglehold, but it is about E3, and it's about PAX. He wants to know if you feel that E3 is going to go back to its old ways, or just let PAX fill the void.
No, I don't think it's going to go back, at least not next year. I think they're going to, you know, give it another go and probably try and organize a little more. Because like I said, the main complaint from people was that it was tough to get around. It was tough to get to their meetings and stuff. But everyone seemed to really like the atmosphere of it. You know, one of the really cool benefits was I ran into people, like, multiple times. You know, like, I kept crossing paths with some people, like CBD from Cheap Ass Gamer. I saw him a bunch of times, and he's a really cool guy. Chris Grant from Joystick, he's the main editor over there and stuff. I crossed paths with him a few times and stuff, and it's just, it's kind of cool because you can kind of, like, most of the times you talk about, oh, yeah, you know, what are you going to go see? This. Then you see him later, and then you talk about that again, and you, it's just kind of nice. It gives some kind of uniformity to the whole thing.
Now, one of the things that this is a little bit not having to do with the games, but both Jeremy and James in here have been to an E3 before, and one of the things that I always hear when they talk about the stories is the things they come back with, all the little swag and gift bags and things like that that they come back with.
I've still got all my swag, except for the swag that got left behind at the old store.
I'm not even sure any of my swag made it back
to the
hotel
room. I still got a Babylon 5 game mouse pad.
Yeah,
and all sorts of great stuff.
How was the swag compared to previous E3s this year?
It really wasn't very good this year, and most people I talked to didn't get too much of anything.
Well, because they realized they were talking to journalists.
There were companies at the conference gave out some things. Like, I got like a, you know, I think I got like a messenger bag, a few notebooks, you know, and here and there. But mostly everybody was giving out asset CDs, you you know, of fact sheets and screenshots and trailers and stuff.
Well, if only they could have been that business-like, you know, in their relationship to the, you know, getting the media out, you know,
to
people out here, it would have been nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really, people try, I don't know if the ESA set rules down for what they can do or whatnot, because, I mean, most of, if you notice, most of the focus from the companies was on holiday season games. There wasn't too much of things coming out in the far future. At E3, you'd see glimpses of the games that are coming out, you know, next holiday season. Or,
right, right.
Heck, there's been games that have made, like, 3 or 4 consecutive E3s. Like, even Crysis this year, which was shown at this E3, this is its third E3.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't uncommon. And I think they're really trying to get away from that, because what the original goal of E3 was it was a way for retailers to know how to allocate shelf space. So, I mean, especially with the Microsoft conference was evident of this, in that they showed raw numbers and said, look, this is why our games sell more, you know, have a higher attach rate, you know, than our competitors, and why, here's what we have coming and why you should allocate this much more shelf space to our titles.
Somebody asked earlier if you got to play Knights, the new Knights game for the Wii.
I didn't get to play it, but I saw a demo of it. I guess it's actually pretty far away yet. And it looked pretty good. Actually, the first boss battle was a throwback to one of the original boss battles. He was kind of like that clown-looking roly-poly guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys ever played the original Saturn game. But, it looked a little strange. There's kind of like a platforming element to it in between the dream sequences. But, I mean, it looked decent for a Wii game, you know. It's kind of tough because, and this is something, you know, it's something Nintendo purposely did, but the difference in quality of the graphics is becoming more and more evident as the generation gets more mature, because on a 360 and PS3, they're able to apply, you know, X, Y, and Z filters to make it this sharp and, you know, get rid of this aliasing. Meanwhile, the Wii is kind of stuck at that low resolution, and it's just, some of the games look really bad. I don't know. Like, if you saw a difference between Madden 2008 on the 360 and Madden 2008 on the Wii, it was like, oh my god.
Yeah, like a lot of those titles that'll come out right as a new piece of hardware is being introduced, where it'll straddle both the old and the new piece of hardware,
exactly.
And they're like, yeah, that's not even, you know, there isn't a comparison to be drawn.
Right.
I mean, that's a shame for them. I hate that, you know. We can say what we want about gameplay, but graphics still do count for quite a bit.
Yeah.
One of my own, like, personal little small favorites that never seems to come front and center, did you see any Army of Two at E3?
I did.
Yeah?
I didn't get to play it, but I watched one of the developers. Like, the way they had it set up was actually in, like, a co-op kind of setting. They had two big mm-hmm. screen TVs next to each other, and
that's good that it's got co-op. Playing.
Yeah. Scott's making fun of me.
It looks decent, but it really looks kind of rough around the edges still. I really,
really?
Don't know if they're gonna make a holiday release. Like, they had a lot of bug kind of things happen
right.
in the demo. Some of the interesting things, though, like, I noticed, like, if your buddy dies in the game, like, you got to pick him up and carry him out of there to revive him, kind of a thing.
Right. I remember seeing in one of the trailers that they released, one of the guys was disabled, and the other dude was, like, dragging him around by his flak jacket, and the guy that was being dragged was still shooting.
Yeah.
He just couldn't do anything. Like, I mean, we're all huge fans of co-op here, and, like, anything that, you know, co-op is like a flashing beacon on top of a game for us. It's, you know,
it was pretty much the reason I bought a 360
yeah.
was to play co-op with all these
yeah,
guys.
And it rules for us as far as multiplayer is concerned. We'll do competitive, but,
yeah.
like, it's all about co-op for us. And, like, Army of Two just looked great, you know? And occasionally it pops back up, but, yeah, I don't know.
I'm a huge co-op fan as well. I mean, like, I just bought Golden Axe on Live Arcade just to play with my buddy who lives in Colorado, because we used to play it growing up, you know? It's just co-op sells games, and I'll tell you what, I think probably, you know, 7 out of 10 games at E3 said something about co-op. I mean, even Halo Wars, RTS with co-op, we never heard of that, but it's going to have it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, everybody realizes that it's a huge selling feature of games. And you know,
about time, because they didn't know it for about 10 years.
Yeah, for the longest time, it was almost unheard of.
It was just like Doom was like the co-op standard, and very few people implemented it after that.
Yeah.
Was there anything interesting going on the PC end of things for you out there?
Well, I went to one of the Games for Windows events, and they had quite a few things on show. They had Hellgate London, which I didn't get to play because they only had it on one station, but it looked pretty good from what I could tell. Crisis, World in Conflict, Stranglehold, Gears of War. Gears of War for PC actually looked really, really well done. Like, it just was so smooth and sharp. I was kind of surprised by how much better it actually looked. Like, cause, I mean, it looks damn good on the 360, but, I mean, it cleaned up even better on the PC.
Cool.
And somebody in the chat room was asking if you got to check out the Half-Life 2, the orange box from Valve.
I didn't get to play it. I wanted to check out Portal, but I never got a chance to.
Right.
But I do know it was there and it was playable, so it's getting close.
What's our date on that again? I forgot. Does anybody remember?
I thought it was August.
Is it?
I think it's August.
Yeah, I thought it was next month. I mean, remember, next month is when. Next month is when the
900 pounds of games coming out.
It's when it kicks in. Yeah, that's when the first foot steps into our doorway and brings with it.
And I'm already behind.
Wallets.
Yeah, no kidding. Exactly.
Because I already had Overlord and Darkness on my list, and I haven't gotten them.
There was another question in the chat room. I'm trying to go back to it here. Okay, Ratty wanted to know if there was any game that surprised you at E3, be it good or bad. Any game, I guess, that you walked into and either wasn't expecting much out of it and was very surprised, or a game that you went into and thought, oh, crap, this is worse than I thought it was going to be.
That's a good question, in this E3 of no surprises.
I think surprising for the better was Stranglehold. I mean, it looked like a cool game and all, but I didn't expect to have basically next-gen features in it. You know, a lot of things it did have never been done before. You know, it really polished a lot of things in that third-person action genre. So I was pretty surprised with that, pleasantly surprised, and that's on my must-buy list now.
Well, after you're talking to me about it, it's kind of ramped up my expectations of it, or at least my anticipation of the game. My only thing was, do I want it on PS3 or do I want it on 360? Because it's probably got no multiplayer, that puts it in the PS3's favor, but however, it's also got achievements, which kind of puts it back into the 360's favor. Plus, the PS3, you get the Blu-ray of Hardboiled, which is kind of nice. As a special feature, so.
I think one surprise on the disappointing side was Lair. Not that I was really looking forward to it, but from everything I've seen, it looked pretty, graphically it looked pretty good, and everyone was hyping it up, but.
That is one of those games that I saw back last year, E3 06, that I was like, oh wow, that's a great little video presentation. This thing looks really cool. I'm interested in this. And then the more I saw throughout the year, the less excited I was getting about the game.
I mean, it was pretty much garbage in my opinion.
That's a shame, too, because, even understanding that you can distill the concept down to X-Wing with, like Rogue Squadron with dragons, I'm like, well, okay. That sounds like it would work. I like Rogue Squadron. I don't hate dragons. I'm okay with the idea of dragons.
I mean, above and beyond, the graphics just didn't look good. It was like PS2 style graphics with nice water, basically.
Yeah, it all looked really muddy, really.
Yeah, it really was, and like things like the terrain and stuff was like popping in and changing a lot of deformation that you saw, and it didn't look right. And then the controls. You're stuck with the access controls. There's no option to change it to use analog sticks.
No.
Which kind of frustrated me. I never felt like I was moving fast enough. Even using like the little terminal button to speed up your dragon, it's such a big world. Like, it took time to get between certain things, and I was like, okay, I get it. We're looking at some nice water.
Right.
There's some guys up there fighting. Look, oh, there's a big thing killing everything. Let's go kill it.
Yeah, and particularly out of a first party thing, as an exclusive thing, they don't even have the excuse of saying, well, this all these problems we've talked about when you're developing a game for the PS3 and for the 360. There's not even that there. It's just like, you know, surely you can do more with this. But from what I've seen, I'd rather go back and play... my favorite game on the PS2 was the Draken game. I don't know if anybody remembers Draken,
remember,
but it was the first Draken was a PC game where you play this dragon rider chick. And it's like you're either flying around in the dragon or like running around somewhat Tomb Raider-ish type of thing. Third-person action. But it was a great game. And the sequel was released on the PS2. And it was just, it was killer, you know? If you want to ride around on a dragon and shoot things, that was great. So you have to at least, you know, match what they did if you want to make me fly around on a dragon or whatever. I don't know. It was just one of those things I wanted to be good. It's PS3 exclusive. I still want to buy a PS3.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really crestfallen when I heard that it just wasn't worth the money.
What I said last night on Phil's show was, you know, if you want to know how bad it is or even how bad Sony thinks it is, it wasn't mentioned in the press conference. It wasn't in their arcade at the press conference. It wasn't shown at their booth at E3. It was shown in the arcade in the basement of the hotel of their booth at E3.
Wow.
That was where it was. And I think that tells you what happened to it, basically.
Factor 5 must have felt really good about that, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Hey, we've been talking about these games and that sort of thing, and I don't necessarily want to, but I think I should. Did you get to mess around with the Wii board?
Yes, I did.
Did you get bored? I mean...
honestly, it was kind of cool. I was a little frustrated with it, actually, because...
Oh, I am too.
it's all about lower body movement, and it just, you can't, like the soccer heading thing. You move your upper body to head a soccer ball. That's what I wanted to do. But in to play the game, you're really just pushing down with your left foot or pushing down with your right foot. So it doesn't really translate as well as to what's happening on screen. Like nothing that they showed for the Wii Fit Board or whatever it's going to be called couldn't have been done with the Wiimote. I think everything that they showed, even the stretching stuff, I don't see why it couldn't have been done with the Wiimote.
I don't see why it has to be done at all.
Yeah.
and you know, the one thing that frustrates, I have big feet. I have size 14 shoes. And I think anybody with a size 13 or above men's shoe is going to find the Wii board uncomfortable because my feet hung off both ends of it. My heel was off the back and my toes were off the front, and after...
That's not too easy to balance on.
Yeah, after the 10-minute demo, my heel was hurting. It's a hard, solid piece of plastic. It's heavy. You know, it's not this little flimsy thing. It's not a power pad.
That's what we were kind of throwing it out there. It's PowerPad 2.0, but apparently it's a lot worse. Did you mess around with the Wii? I think you told us you messed around with the Wii Zapper a little bit.
Yeah, I did. And I was a little frustrated with that as well because I couldn't figure out how I wanted to hold it. It's designed to be held with two hands, but it's kind of close together, and like I've been describing it as having T-Rex arms. That's what it feels like. It's actually like a short little arm holding the thing. And like you're playing the shooting game, you feel like a little retard up there. Like, this is not how I should be holding this gun. And the weighting on it with the Wiimote in the front causes it to be really front heavy, and you can't really then hold it by itself with one hand. So, well, I mean, that being said, playing it with T-Rex arms, it was pretty accurate, and, you know, it worked well. I played the Resident Evil game, and I played Ghost Squad, and both worked well. Well, Resident Evil didn't look so good.
Really?
It was kind of muddy again, but Ghost Squad was a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys ever played the arcade game of it, but kind of over-the-top action.
Flinks wanted to know back about the board. How did it feel as far as durable? You said heavy, but could you run on it?
It's definitely going to be durable. It's a solid piece of hardware for sure. It's heavy. It's a hard plastic.
Could you run on it? Could you use the, you know, simulate the motion of running on there to kind of, I guess track and field comes to mind, but yeah, could you do stuff
sure
like that?
I'm sure you could. Yeah, I don't see why not. It's
to look at that thing, I figured
I'd
break it.
It feels like if you ever played an arcade version of DDR where it's got like the strong like metal kind of pad thing. Like the handrails, it kind of feels like that almost, but only with, you know, a little scale kind of thing going on.
That's weird.
What did you see out of Nintendo that you liked?
I like Mario Galaxy. Mario Galaxy was it felt more like the original Mario 64 than Sunshine did.
They say it's the true successor. Partly a true successor to 64.
The look of it was, it just had a great look to it. And honestly, the game gave me vertigo in a sense. Like, the jumping from planet to planet and running around it was surprising, like, the sense of vertigo you can get from that.
Yeah, you're running upside down and jumping outward instead, when you hit the button, you jump down instead of up because you're on the underside of the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The screen hasn't adjusted for it.
Yeah, like I say, it was good though. It was a good feeling kind of a thing. It added like that tension to it, and the controls were surprisingly tight. For you do a lot of weird little motions to do some things. Like waggle the Wiimote around to do like spin attacks, and you kind of have like this cursor on screen that you can follow to jump to certain things and stuff like that. But it worked well. I got to play it for like 10 minutes. That 10 minutes was all I needed to sell me on it.
Yeah. Well, I guess I guess that's a good little demo length for some of these games, and I'm sure some of them could be longer. Does anybody else have any questions for him? Dennis, you haven't mentioned anything. Of course, I guess you were more interested in the Wii stuff.
Yeah, that pretty much got answered.
And I think that pretty much got answered for you. There wasn't a lot of Wii stuff to talk about. Again, to go back to the fact that they didn't. What did they have playable there for you from Nintendo?
Well, I think a lot of the playable stuff, like Metroid Prime 3, was only behind closed doors for special people, and I'm not special, so I didn't get to play that. But I mean, it was Mario Galaxy, the Wii Fit stuff. What the heck else they had? They had the Zelda for DS.
Ah, what was it? Phantom Hourglass.
Phantom Hourglass. I went through a little bit of that, and it seemed pretty decent. There's a lot of little things you can do in it, but it's one of those games that the traps some of the DS games fall into, and where they don't play so well as a handheld, where you almost have to sit the DS down to play it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's right. Yeah.
There's certain games that I've had that problem with, where I'm like, I just got to sit this thing down on the table to play.
Yeah, you actually have to put it on the table because there are from what I understand, there's no button movements for that game, is there?
No.
There's very few.
Supplemented with it.
Yeah.
Very few.
Becky here has a question.
Yeah, just Jeremy and James always talk about, that awesome game that was in the basement or the back hallway or whatever that will never see the light of day.
Kenta?
Well, it used to be in Kentia Hall.
Kentia Hall,
where you'd find that stuff. Or at least in some of the hallway conference centers and stuff. Like, those little oddball, like, Korean game makers that would still have a presence there.
There was been kind of close to that. The Gamecock stuff they showed, even though I guess you can consider them a major publisher or becoming a major publisher, their stuff was more independent in style. Things like that, Hail to the Chimp, and the Dementium game. I think we actually posted up about Dementium today. They have more of like the independent style games and stuff. And then there was a indie game showcase at the Barker Hangar, which is basically like four stations of some random indie games. And honestly, I just didn't have the time to check them out. I was so busy with everything else.
Right.
So I don't even know what they had to offer, but just walking by and glimpsing at what was on the screen, nothing really caught my eye.
Hmm. Well, was there anything there that is like? Just seemed really awesome, and no one was talking about it or anything like that.
No. I mean, I think the only like surprises that came up, there was a few from Sony with like Echo Chrome. Infamous, I think was the name of the game.
The one, Infamous by Sucker Punch, the guys who made Sly Cooper. I think it was
came out of nowhere, and people immediately were kind of like, we're going to need to see these games, but neither of them were playable or anything like that. So, like I said, I think the focus of E3 has changed to back what it was originally intended to be, and that was selling shelf space to retailers for the holiday season.
Right.
So,
well, and in this time slot, it's actually much more suited for that. I mean, I know that it's only 2 months difference, but you know, when you're back in May, it's easier to consider the far future because the holiday season isn't exactly imminent.
Yeah, you don't even know if those games are going to make it to the holiday release.
Right, but here we are in July, and it's like, that's it. Next month is the yep. long dive through the holiday season, so they're kind of in a position where they really do need to be talking about that. And if yeah. they, you know, if somebody were to bring up, well, you know, this is the future stuff, and it's like, yeah, that's great, but, you know, here comes the shopping season, and this is how it works, and we need to talk about what's coming out, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, too, this brings me to discussion that was happening on EVAP today about Microsoft and the lack of a price cut at, you know, at E3 and even Sony's quote-unquote price cut.
Boy, that was...
Yeah. You know, and Microsoft, there's only one time of the year someone voluntarily, you know, cuts a price, and that's...
It's not in the middle of the summer.
It's November. You want that momentum to sell the systems for the holiday. I mean, 50 to 60% of all sales happen in that 2 month time slot, and you need to maximize that thing. I mean, the only other time you'll ever do a price cut is if your competitor decides to do it.
Yeah. Well, listen, we got to take a break, and it's going to take us up to the top of the hour and take us into next hour. So I'm not suggesting you stay on the phone for that amount of time, but you can kind of take a break from your ear, take care of the dog, and call us back about, I don't know, about 5 minutes after nine, if you could, and we'll continue this conversation and hopefully have more people in the chat room here to ask you some questions. And of course, I know we talked about it a little bit last night, but I wasn't on the phone with you, and so I'm going to ask you questions about Burnout myself. Man, I'm sorry. Man, big fan of that stuff. So, but anyway, we'll talk about that and a whole lot more. So thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you a little bit after 9, okay, man?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, talk to you in a little while. And we'll be back here in just a bit on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. Don't forget, head on over to mouselook.com or evilavatar.com. You can join us in the chat room. Lots of people in the chat room. In fact, some of these guys came in a little late, so I'm going to run down the list here real quick and do a nice little chat room roll call, if we could. Blackwing is in there. He's been in there for the entire length of the show. Thank you, Blackwing. Tamarick is in there. I think I got it right. Klunka is also in there. I am in there. Kevin. Hoggy's in there. Mike O'Hara. Mike, by the way, please call in 272-922-8334.
Yeah, we want to get you your Games for Windows.
See, you
answers.
Need, yeah, you need to ask him these questions because I really don't know much about Games for Windows anymore. Anyway, Spike Kojima's in there. Nick, BA Penguin, he's on the phone with us right now. Straxus, Flinks, Fishbang, DC Joe Dog, Bohica, Pixie Duck. Let's see, RJ is in there, Akuma, ATR, we've got Violent P69, we've got Praying for Rain, that is, Andy, is it?
Alan,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Alan.
That's Alan from Movie Gallery Game Zone, which we're going to be giving away a free rental this hour, so stick around for that. Tyler Durden, 84, is in there, Scramble, is also, let's see, Agent Fox as well, and we have Ratty in the chat room. Whew, goodness, so yeah, and Nick is back on the phone with us right now. Hey, man. There you are. Hey, there you go.
Oh, hey, there we go.
Sorry about that. yeah, anyway. Hopefully Mike will give us a call here because he wants to ask you about Games for Windows Live, but I think he's got a more specific question than just like, hey, talk to me about Games for Windows Live. So there we go. There's the phone number. So he should be calling in just a bit. Before then, I'll just indulge and ask you about Burnout.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that video.
Which
well.
One?
The trailer, the E3 2007 trailer.
Right.
The one that they keep showing because, you know, I'm watching the whole thing and I'm like, yeah, okay, this is Burnout. This looks pretty sweet. I see what you're saying about the sound. You were saying the sound.
Sounds
kinda,
just tinny. I think it's
tinny,
I think it's like the encoding of the
trailer.
That's not, or something.
Yeah, that's
not.
That wasn't the big deal. We were just looking at, you know, all the stuff. And it looked Burnout, and Burnout's great. And this will be the first one that's like come out after I've had a system. For it, you know, because I didn't have an Xbox or anything before that. So I'm really excited about it. But, man, I don't know whether the last 10 seconds of that video was legit or not.
Oh, the car, the slow-motion car?
But the slow-motion deformation as that car hit the barrier was sex. That was really great. I was like, man, if that's real... I thought it looked real. I mean, I thought that looked good, which is why I was like, you know what? This is that can't be real. Like, that's that level of physical deformation is not going to be. There's no way that's going to happen because I didn't see it evident in any of the other places.
I didn't see that trailer actually, but I saw the crashes in the game, and they are pretty damn good looking, especially the ones that cause your car to be totaled.
Right.
So if it's anything like what I saw, I mean, the car just kind of crunching up like an accordion kind of a thing, and
yeah, because most of the impacts in the demo were like glancing blows or rolling or something like that, which is pretty spectacular. But this was just like this, you know, beautiful top down view as it went completely perpendicular into a concrete barrier segment, and
good. If you watch it closely, you can actually see the engine coming out of the dashboard into the car. You can see a little part. It's like the engine just, the block just hits it and stays put while the rest of the car goes right through, and it just spits it right back out. I'm trying to find that one clip of it right now that I can post it into the chat room for everybody. Here's the exact
game trailers.
There's the exact scene that we were talking about. It's in the chat room now. It's in like the GIF format, so it kind of takes some time to load and goes a little slow there. But you can actually see what he's talking about. It's a lot better in the trailer, so find the trailer if you can to take a look at that. And there's some great shots there. But anyway, you got to spend some time with it. You got to play it.
Yeah, I did. And it feels good. Like it feels like Burnout still. But what the developers were really trying to go for was they want to keep the crashes, but they want to keep you playing as well. So I don't know if you can really tell from the video. Basically, the rule of it is as long as you have wheels on the car, you can keep driving. So
that's what I've noticed. I've noticed
your car can get pretty beat up, but you can keep going.
Reminds me of the old Midtown Madness.
Oh yeah,
that's really that. Well, yeah, I remember that.
I forgot about Midtown Madness, and that's kind of almost what part of it feels like about driving around.
Right. Well, that's good because I love that game.
As you drive around, like cause it sounds like an open world style game. Like street signs pop up, kind of telling you where you are, and it's surprising like how much that helps orient you like in the world. Like I guess I could have did like if you guys play Test Drive Unlimited, where you kind of have this audio GPS, helping you the entire time, telling you the turn and whatnot.
From what I understood is like there's two forms of crashing. There is crash wherever you have an accident, you run into another car. It's called crash. You go into cinematic mode and get to look at the whole thing. Then there's another version of that called wrecked, which is basically when you've lost your wheels, you can't really go, and you can just watch the carnage unfold. And just, you know, enjoy it from there. One of the other things was the whole online mode being completely seamless. In other words, your game lobby is the game world.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's no, you know, you're not sitting in waiting for other people to join. You're just driving around the city, wrecking people if you want to, taking jumps, doing spins, racing, doing any a manner of different things that you want to do, and you can just pop up, send an invite, someone can join in and be at the other end of the city while you're doing your thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I think they really took from Test Drive Unlimited, where they kind of call that the MMO racing kind of game, where you could just drive around, and if you saw, you know, a guy coming towards you and you wanted to race him, you'd flash your lights, they'd flash their lights, and you'd start a race up kind of a thing. So I think that's kind of what they're going for.
And then, of course, there's the whole, this is, again, I'm jumping off topic here, but one of the things that this game will use, and I'm sure many other games will use as well, it's going to use the Live Vision camera, but it's also going to use the PlayStation Eye, and we really haven't heard much from or about the PlayStation Eye other than when it was first announced.
Yeah, I got to play Eye of Judgment there, actually, the card game that uses that camera.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, the one where you lay down the card and the little animal pops up off of it.
Yeah,
on
how
the
was
screen.
That?
Before we get into that, let's get Mike in here before we jump to another.
Oh, okay,
topic.
Yeah, I don't want to.
He is
run
calling
over
long distance.
Mike, yeah,
he has been waiting.
Mike's been on the phone now for a little while, so let's jump into Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the air with Nick.
Hey, what's going on, Bap?
What's going on, Mike?
Hey, give me all the info you've got on Windows games for Windows Live.
Give you everything I've got on it. It's definitely going to be XP compatible. Even though they kind of like quietly announced that, I got confirmation multiple times from multiple people that it is going to be compatible with XP finally.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of the concessions Microsoft had to make to get these third-party developers up and running on it, like Sega and THQ and whatnot.
Was it 8?
A whole lot of info on like features and stuff. If you listen to any of like the 4-minute interviews I did with some of the Microsoft execs, you know, I prodded Peter Moore, Chris Early, who is the who's in charge of Games for Windows Live, about, you know, when are we getting a dashboard, or when are we getting, you know, this feature and that, like, you know, when are we getting a marketplace, and, you know, they really didn't say. Basically, what Peter Moore said to me was, you know, his quote before was, what, things break? Well, now that his quote could be, things are, you know, things take time, and, you know, I said, I think most people assume that since they've done it once, that, you know, they've learned from those past mistakes, it should be pretty quick to get it up and running. It's not going to be, you know, like the 4 years it took for Xbox Live to get where it is, where it was in the original Xbox to where it is today.
Yeah.
But, you know, it sounds like, it, you know, it might take longer than anybody really hoped for.
So it's possible we could see that probably at Christmas time this year.
I can barely hear him.
He was asking that we could probably see that around Christmas time this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, well, Gears of War is, I think, October. I think the Sega / Bizarre Creations game, I think the name of it's eluding me right now. Oh, God.
Viva Pinata, I know, is going to be out.
Yeah, what is the name of the game? The Club.
The Club, yeah.
Yeah, I actually got to play that, too. But yeah, that's going to be coming out this fall, and that's a Games for Windows Live title. What's the other? There's that THQ game, that Cruisin' or Juiced or some
Juiced
car
too,
pimp game. Whatever.
Right, Juiced too. Yeah.
Me at all.
Mike, were there any specific games that you were curious about?
Actually, I had two. The first being Unreal Tournament 3. I know it's supposed to be out at the end of October.
What, 3? I can barely hear him. It's, like, really low for me.
It was Unreal Tournament 3 he was interested in. And what was the other one?
The other one, I heard on Sunday you weren't really happy with Quake Wars.
Quake Wars.
Yeah, well, Unreal 3, both those games aren't going to be games for Windows Live. I know that. But, yeah, I mean, Quake Wars, I don't know. I was expecting more from it. Didn't do it for me, which kind of surprised me. I mean, I only got to play the 360 version. I don't know if the PC version supports more players or, you know, has anything different. But
yeah,
I was just kind of, I felt like I've been there and done that before almost.
So does that go ahead?
Question, if you don't mind, was anything said by Mark Green or maybe Cliffy that would say what the process is going to be for putting mods onto the PS3 from the PC?
No, you know, he didn't say, you know, what the problem was, and you know what, in fact, he didn't rule it out or anything like that. Like I said earlier in the show, the only thing that he had said to me was that, you know, the reason it's not on 360 right now is not because of political things, it's because it's, you know, it's simply not done.
I think I may have misunderstood the question. I think Mike was asking, did he say anything about the process of putting those mods onto the PS3?
Oh, the process of putting them onto the PS3. They're only created by PC users. I do know that. The PC mods move to the PlayStation platform. I don't think there's going to be any tools on the PS3 to do mods on the PS3.
So you'll have to build it on your PC, and of course you'll have to... It's interesting because you'll have to you'd have to buy the PC version unless they release mod tools for the PC.
I think they've always released.
Yeah, they usually do.
Unreal Engine free.
Yeah, for the Unreal Tournament games, they've always released the Unreal Engine along with that.
So there you go. Any other questions you got, Mike? This is why I wanted you to call in, because I could ask him about Games for Windows Live, but I wasn't going to be able to cover any of the other stuff you had questions about. So.
Did you happen to, World in Conflict, did you happen to see anything other than what I more than likely have experienced?
What about it?
Have you seen anything else?
As far as content, do they show any
any new content for World in Conflict that he's not already seeing, I guess, are you in the beta with that, aren't you?
Yeah, there's an open beta going on right now.
Yeah.
That's right. I got to download the new open beta for that. They actually had the multiplayer version on the show floor there. I still haven't seen exactly what the single player is going to be like.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed the beta as it is now, and, you know, it's a really great-looking game, and it's kind of a unique take on an RTS.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Well, thanks for calling in, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Hope we got all the questions that you needed to get answered. And, yeah, thanks for listening and calling in, buddy. Well, Nick, we appreciate your time here, and thanks for indulging me in talking about Burnout. I just love
no
that
problem.
Game. And you know what? I guess I'll see you at PAX later on this year, huh?
Yeah, that's good. That's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to not working at one of these big shows and just meeting people and, you know.
It's weird because I want to go there and work. I want to go there and grab interviews of whoever's hanging out there and kind of play. Because the day that I get back from PAX, I'll get back on a Monday. The flight says I get in at 4:30. I don't know how accurate that's going to be. But I will come straight to the radio station. We'll do a show that night. And I kind of want to, you know, I'm hoping to get some interviews out there of some people. I don't know. It's my first event anywhere related to this industry. And this big of an event, so I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how it's going to be, but I'm hoping to get some interviews or at least get some sound bites from some people out there about some games.
I think there's going to be quite a few. You know, I know at least Microsoft and Nintendo. You'll probably be seeing quite a few people there with them being right next door.
I just hope that, I hope I can tell them, hey, I'm from in-game chat. Can I interview you? And they'll say, oh, sure, listen to that show all the time. Great stuff. Or it'll be more like, who?
Tell you what, though, I'm sure you will find some people that do that, and it's really a cool feeling. You know, some of the people I've met that, you know, really need to have and stuff. And
well, I know there's a guy at Joystick that listens, apparently, so
they'll
run into him. But, yeah. But thanks so much for calling in, and thanks for all the coverage that you put up over on Evil Avatar, all the work you've done, basically. We do appreciate you being out there for this.
Yeah, I still probably got another 2 days here worth of content that I'm going to be posting.
What's some content that we can look forward to from you? What else you got left to talk about?
Going to be putting up a PGR4 thing real soon. Fallout 3, Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway.
Fallout 3, huh?
Yeah, Guitar Hero 3. What else we got?
That's a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah, I got some more stuff coming down the pipe here. So,
well,
Fallout 3 looked amazing.
Yeah, but it did. You played Rock Band for a little bit, but you said you didn't get a chance to play the drums, which is actually I think what everybody. Yeah,
that's the only thing I care about.
Yeah,
I know what the guitar is like.
We've done the guitar. We want the drums, but yeah. So.
Yeah, I think everybody wanted to get on the drums. So,
did you sing?
No. Like, tell you what, the people that were singing there could sing really well. But I saw a handful of guys singing, and it's like, wow, they're building it out pretty good. I think part of it, too, is the vocal track isn't non-existent. You kind of sing with it.
I was watching a GameSpot demo of that, and
yeah.
I could hear you know, Jovi's vocals going under the song.
Yeah, so it kind of helps augment, you know, I think your voice, too, which probably for the better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like how we all sound better singing with the radio.
Yeah, we turn the radio up louder than we sing.
Yeah.
And
it filters through our ears as though we're gods among vocalists. So,
yeah.
But thanks again for sharing your experiences here and all the work you did out there that I know you spent tons of time on. And I know a part of us think about going out there because, ooh, we get to play games. But not so much so. You have to put some effort into it and get those interviews down. So
yeah, you know what? It's pretty funny that I didn't get to play all that much until maybe the last day there, like the last half. And really, even then, I didn't get to play as many as I wanted. A lot of the game demos I went to, a lot of the closed-door meetings, it was developers doing a demo.
Yeah.
You know, and showing it off, which is kind of disappointing, but, you know, it maximizes what you get to see.
That's right. You got to see GTA 4 closed doors. That I don't think
you
can.
No, I didn't get to see GTA 4. They only showed a short clip of it at Take-Two's press event, and I ended up missing the press event. So.
Oh, well, never mind then.
I will be, hopefully, I will be going to Rockstar out in New York City sometime soon and seeing it. some hands-on.
Well, that's great.
I know they're gearing up for that.
Yeah, can't wait to hear about that though. So, thanks again for calling in, and we will talk to you in the chat room and talk to you over on Evil Avatar.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you.
You too.
Take care.
All right, that was Nick Paleo from Evil Avatar, otherwise known as B.A. Penguin. He's the guy that is running the chat room that we're all in right now. So I want to thank him for that, and as well as for all the coverage that we had coming from E3. It makes me wonder what we're going to talk about next week. But anyway, coming up next, though, we've still got a giveaway, a free rental from our friends at Movie Gallery Game Zone. Not yet sure how we're going to do that, but we'll figure something out in the break, maybe.
I love how we have no idea how we're going to do that yet.
We always make it up on the break.
Yeah, yeah. Come up with it.
Great amounts of preparation going to the show.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, we'll kind of wrap things up here as we're kind of winding down the show. We'll talk about games that are coming out this week. There's really none but one.
right.
There's actually a lot, but really, I can only see one there. But we'll talk about all that stuff coming up next here on In-Game Chat on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to In-Game Chat here on 1170 WACV. No, go ahead. What were you talking about?
Oh, nothing. I was singing to that song.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because whenever...
I was just being dumb.
Because the first thing everybody hears on the air now is we're coming out of commercial and you're laughing.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you missed the joke during the break.
No, there was no joke.
There really
wasn't.
I was
laughing at something in my own head.
Hey, let's go ahead and ask that trivia question. I know, Becky, you wanted to...
Yeah, this is entirely Becky-generated.
Yeah, because
so,
I don't know a
we
thing.
We absolve ourselves of all responsibility.
Harry Potter obviously came out Wednesday. Was it last Wednesday?
Last Wednesday.
Yeah, last Wednesday. Yeah. It's done. By the way, there are the numbers already for the weekend to let you know how Harry Potter did.
Big.
Yeah, it was number one. It made... it's so far made $139 million.
Cool.
Yeah. Dana says thumbs up. She's happy about that. Hang on. Go.
It's one of my fantasy movie studios.
Mine too.
That's right. I forgot. We're all in that fantasy movie
it's
studio.
It's actually the first one in my studio to come out.
Well,
it's
good
my
job.
Third.
You're now on the board. I got one left. Simpsons comes out, and then I'm done with my summer. So that's pretty much it. But anyway, go ahead and ask a question. It's Harry Potter related. I don't know. I have no idea what this question even relates to. She said it, and it's still gibberish to me. So go ahead and ask the question.
Where is the headquarters for the Order of the Phoenix?
So don't answer that in the chat room, please. Just call up, and because your answer won't count in the chat room. You have to call us and let us know. The number is 334-272-9228. One of you guys putting that in the chat room right now? 334-272-9228. Ask it one more time.
Where is the headquarters for the Order of the Phoenix?
All righty. Hopefully we'll get that in there. If anybody wants us to repeat that question, go ahead and just type it in the chat room if we need to repeat the question for you. Or just call us and we'll repeat the question. That's fine, too. Anyway, let's move on into our discussion here. We got some games coming out this week. I got a game coming out this week. Here's the only. I'm not a sports guy, you know. I'm not sure there's many of us in here who are into the sports stuff. Today
no, we've always been really lacking in representing that segment of the gaming population,
both in real life and in gaming.
Yeah,
but we've got All Pro Football 2K8 on the 360 and the PS3. Paper Mario came out for the Virtual Console on the Wii today. That cost you 1,000 points. Balloon Fight, also on the Virtual Console, 500 points. And Silent Debuggers from the TurboGrafx-16. I don't know what that is. 600 points.
I never know what the TurboGrafx game is.
If it ain't bonk, I don't know what it is.
That's awesome.
Exactly. Tomorrow, we got Hot Shots Tennis for the PS2, NCAA Football 08 for the Xbox, PS2, 360, and PS3, Parappa the Rapper on the PSP.
If I had a PSP, I'd be really excited.
I do have one, and I'm still probably not going to get
it. That was a fun game.
It was. There's my opening for the show.
I'm going to have to dig up a copy of that so you can play that on the PlayStation.
Actually was pretty good. I really didn't like it.
It didn't look like something I would enjoy, so I never played it.
You'd enjoy it.
Rugby 2008 on PS2. Tales of the World, Radiant Mythology on the PSP. Oh, okay, cool. I'll jump into it in just a second. Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2 on the PC. And then Wednesday is Yi R Kung Fu for Xbox Live Arcade. 400 points there. No go for me. And then, of course, Bomberman Live.
Bomberman!
Yeah.
Bomberman Live, 800 points on the Xbox Live Arcade.
You guys
Arcade.
Are all picking up Bomberman.
Oh, yeah, this one.
We're all going to be blowing each other up, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Instant purchase there. So that's what we got. We've got a caller on the phone now. It is it's actually Violent P 69. Actually, we have two calls now, so this could get interesting here. Hey, man, what's your name?
What's up? It's what, my real name, or you hold my hand, or
it's whatever. What
up to you, man.
What do you want to give us?
It's Javier, man.
Javier,
nice.
Yeah, that's my real name. I can't believe I know the answer to this question. I sat there and I debated. I was hoping somebody would call in before me and get it right, but you know, you might as well just call. So yeah, the answer is Sirius Black's house. You know, his mom's old house, and you know that's where the whole order meets up. That's where they have the conversations, and, you know, you guys can make fun of me now.
Not only is he embarrassed that he knows the answer, but he explains.
Yeah, no, the worst part is I could explain to you so much more than just that, but, you know, we'll keep it short, I guess.
Is that correct?
You know,
so.
That is an acceptable answer. You don't happen to know the address, do you?
Do you know the address?
No, I'm glad I don't, actually. You know, at least I save some dignity.
It's number 12 Grimald Place.
Oh, nice. Good one. I could tell you the name of the house that they see the werewolf in It. That's the house. I could tell you that one.
But you don't know the name of the house for that
no,
one?
No, no. I try to be picky with my useless information, you know.
Well, congratulations. You got yourself do you have a movie? Where are you calling from?
From what, like my house? Like where my house?
Like a city, a state?
Oh, Miami, yeah. I'm from Miami.
All right. Well, listening to us in Miami. Thank you very much. And
you know it.
You got a movie gallery, Game Zone, down there somewhere?
No, I don't, actually. Yeah, so, I mean, I could donate the gift. Whoever, you know, whoever wants it can have it, you know. I guess I needed to feel embarrassed for a bit, you know. So, I guess that's good enough for me.
I tell you what, dude, you've won this. So if you want to post a thread over at Evil Avatar that says first person to respond gets this or something, then go right ahead and just tell
them. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to post a thread and I'm going to make somebody embarrass themselves worse than I did tonight. It, you know? Let's try to keep it even out here. So
that's the way to do it.
That sounds good to me.
All right, buddy. Well, congratulations. I need you to go ahead and, just in case, go ahead and send me your information, PM me your information over on Evil Avatar so that I can send this to you or we can, you know, work out a way to get this to whoever you decide to give it to. So
you got it.
So congratulations, man. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in, buddy.
Thanks. Good job, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Night. All
right. Well, there you go.
That's so, pretty good.
Yeah, that was great. that was good. I'm glad he called in. Let's see. Dave apparently hung up, but that's fine. So we were talking. What were we talking about, man? I have no idea anymore.
Bomberman
Live was
coming
out.
Yeah, we were talking
out about
stuff this week. I wanted to mention I saw the list of things coming out this week under the movie category. Just to sidestep out of game slightly with Sunshine.
Hairspray, right?
Huh?
Hairspray, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, look, I work in a theater. So, like, definitely, that's of great concern to many of my people.
Oh, man, I forgot about that.
But personally, I was talking about Sunshine.
Right.
Which I thought was very strange, because I remember seeing the trailer for it a very long time ago, but it's just never popped up anywhere.
Kind of like Time Shift.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, vanished back there. But, right. Like, I saw the trailer, it looked really good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The trailer looked good. I'm not saying the film would definitely be great or anything, but it, you know, looked like it was budgeted well enough, and I've read, you know, decent sci-fi novels that had premises a little more silly than that. So, and it just looked good, and I didn't know if any of you guys had any awareness of it whatsoever. But, like, I'm excited to see that it's here because I had no idea that.
The only awareness I have is exactly the same that you have.
Okay.
I've seen the trailers and, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know anything else. I checked some of the theaters around town. Nobody's got it set for showing this weekend. So,
yeah. That's bad for us.
Yeah. It is bad for us. But
we have limited release problems around here.
I think it's hitting release, so maybe it'll actually kind of snowball a little bit better and eventually make its way around here.
I hope so. I definitely want to see it. I take my sci-fi in any way, shape, or form I can get it.
It's in Dana's studio as well. Well, it'll still make money because it's opening this weekend, so some people around the world are going to see it, or around the country are going to see it, but
right.
Eh, Not us here, so. But let's see. Well, I want to get to Flinks, who I think is he still in the chat room? Yes, he is. He's still in the chat room. Because if he wasn't, would we have not talked about it? No. He sent us a...
He used our he did us a big favor, because like, we're admittedly weak on following the PC side of things.
We're all
have been PC gamers at some point in time or another, but just because of circumstances have over time kind of yo-yoed back and forth between consoles and PCs. And at the moment, none of us here in the room are particularly passionate about what's happening on the PC. And we're not really, you know, we've been told a few times we're not really talking enough about that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, well, you know, we're stupid. Yeah. So help us out, you know.
So,
what with our, you know, new fancy shiny Gmail account and everything. So he was our first major submitter of giant loads of useful information.
He's a contributor to the show now.
Yeah.
The email address is ingamechat@gmail.com. And what he did was he went through the, you know, we're all looking at E3 from the eyes of console gamers and looking at what we're looking forward to. He went to the PC perspective of it. And now we all know about Crysis and Spore and all the other cross-platforms and, of course, Gears of War and things like that. So he wanted to show us or at least tell us about some games that we may not know about. And I'm going to let you PC guys run some of these down because
I
know...
The first one that I'm most excited about, honestly, is Space Siege.
Right.
Which is, you know...
Dungeon Siege
in space. And there you go. It's that simple. But I don't know who bothered playing Dungeon Siege. I mean, it was obviously developed in the vein of Diablo. It like will often happen between Diablo releases, there will be very Diablo-esque games that come out.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, nobody really has a problem with that as long as they're good. It's like, well, you know, it's a good style of play. It's a lot of fun. There's a reason why Diablo was so successful, and if you can make something decent you know, of that variety, it's really good. I never picked up 2 because I didn't finish 1, but I played a lot of the first Dungeon Siege. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And being a fan of space as I am, in all of its fictional aspects.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's like, if peanut butter and jelly. What the hell would these taste like if I put them in? Oh, my God!
Yeah.
you hope so. Another one,
I'm personally very excited about that. And, again, because Dungeon Siege is a good way to find co-op on the PC.
I like the premise. It takes place on mankind's final spaceship. You know, it says evil aliens destroyed the others and
like an
Earth.
Ark or something
like
that. Yeah. No, it's very good. I would make an effort to make that playable on my PC. I would honestly, that's one of maybe a few things that I would play again. But that's a very personal thing.
A game that Flinks is excited about is Company of Heroes Opposing Fronts, which is a standalone expansion to Company of Heroes. It's RTS there. Company of Heroes was one of the first games for Windows in the whole new packaging and everything else that had been coming around. He says it's these are his words, probably the best RTS in the last 10 years, if not ever, created. That's big words there, Flinks. The standalone expansion will have twice as many campaign levels as the original game did. Fantastic value, as this comes with an expansion's price, $20. Wow, that actually is kind of cool. Multiplayer, players with only one or the other game will be able to play with each other online. It will just limit you to sides that you're allowed to choose to play as. He says it's one of his must-own games as well, so I'm glad he's excited about that. The Company of Heroes, I was interested in when it was released. Not, you know, I was like, oh, that looks interesting. I hope it gets a port, you know. And, you know, I used to be that way about, oh, that game on the console looks interesting. I hope it comes over to the PC.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, that game looks interesting on the PC. I hope it comes over to the console.
Yeah.
Is another one that that he's looking forward to. Anything else you guys see on there?
There's not much information about it, but it's The Witcher.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. Action RPG, Shades of Oblivion, we're being told. Very pretty, but not much information about that. I mean, it could be, you know, my recent Oblivion fascination. Mm-hmm. Anything that chooses to attach itself to that style, I'm willing to at least take a look at. I mean, right. I'm obviously not going to say, oh, that's wonderful because it's just like it, but I'll take another look for sure.
He's got a few mentions there. Quake Wars, he said it reminds him very much of Tribes.
Yeah, there was a little bit of discussion of that in the chat room. I was really big into Tribes back in the day. I didn't play a lot of 2 because I was one of those people that didn't appreciate the way that we transitioned from 1 into 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I played a lot of Starsheets Tribes. I mean, a lot.
World in Conflict, which, of course, is easy to get in the beta right now. The beta's, like, open. You can download it from, I think, File Planet.
Uh-huh.
You can get it to the beta. Mike O'Hara, who's in the chat room, he's been in he's been in the beta for a while now. He said he was going to give it about 2 weeks, and then he's going to call us and let us know how it's going, so we'll probably hear from him next week. Fear's got their second expansion coming out. Stalker has an expansion coming
good
out.
Good for Stalker.
Good
for them that there's still any kind of life going on with that. I mean, not to say that it's pathetic or anything, but I'm glad. It was just so long. Such a long road getting that game onto shelves in the first place that it's nice to see that there's continued
Kevin
support.
Kevin was pretty excited about an expansion coming
out. He did. He put a lot of time into, you know, making the game work the way he wanted it to. So, I'm glad that there's still something else happening there.
He was really happy to hear about the expansion. We got Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare is going to come to the PC. They didn't do that with Call of Duty 3, only for the fact that it was an...
Well, Call of Duty 3 never even comes up in conversations that we have now about Call of Duty. That was an entire... It was Treyarch.
Yeah,
that
was Treyarch.
An entirely different
thing. Not Infinity
and
War.
Not that... I actually liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. I actually personally liked it better than Call of Duty 2 on the Xbox, because I played 2 and 3 on the 360. And I actually liked, with the exception of some design choices I thought they made, I liked 3 better. But I also think that because it was designed solely for the 360,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was console-centric design philosophy, so that's fine. But, you know, I'm perfectly happy that they're going multi-platform with 4.
Yeah.
I hope it works. It will probably work out much, much better on the PC. There's just no way around that.
Unreal Tournament 3, of course, gets released. Let's see, what else does he have?
Jagged Alliance 3. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it?
It's been a really long time. It's been a
Jagged Alliance game. Oh. Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, I remember 2 was in the bargain bin when you and I used to work
it
retail.
It was. It was.
And that was 8 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
That has been. That's the, what is that? That's like Fallout 3.
What?
That's like Fallout 3.
Oh, in terms of how long it's been since.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It has been longer still for the Fallout franchise, I think.
Let's see what else is in there. 2025 Battle for Fatherland.
Sounds foreign.
It sounds foreign,
according to his parents.
Battle for the Motherland. Let's see. Empire Earth 3. This is the sequel to Empire Earth 2. That's his description. Supreme Commander gets an expansion. And Trains Railways.
Which we must point out, spelled with Z's. So these trains are crazy extreme or something.
That's the expansion.
Know.
Trains Railways Extreme. Extreme Railroading.
He says Settlers 6, Rise of an Empire, is on his is an RTS on his must-own list.
Hmm, okay.
Well, there that's you good, go. Yep. And I want to thank Flinks for keeping up with that. Cause,
yeah, it helps us.
It does.
I mean, because it's difficult. If you don't even know where to look exactly, it's hard to sort of pick through, you know, what are the meaningful highlights of what's happening in the PC world.
Yeah. Has anybody else got the chat room working for anybody else?
No, it hasn't done anything interesting for me in about 90
seconds. I just tried to post in there, and now it's just kind of...
Well, I don't know what's happening in there, so if anybody's...
It could be
how stupid we're being in there.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Sorry.
We can't hear you. Email it to us. Maybe we'll get it then. But let's see. Moving on, because we've only... Yeah, it's my connection. I'm not connected anymore, so... Obviously, it's...
Your internet's pretty terrible here, Scott.
Yeah. Someone stole your internets.
It's free, so... get rid of that there. But anyway, let's see. What else do we have? We've only got about 10 more minutes.
We were talking over the break about the demos that came out after the various demos that came out for on Xbox Live.
We had a bunch. That was a lot. I mean,
we did.
There was Harry Potter, Order of the Phoenix.
Which is, fairly recent.
There was The Bigs, which is baseball.
I actually downloaded that. But I
downloaded and played it. I actually played it a lot.
Really? I want to take a look at it.
It's arcade baseball, so it was kind of nice. What was another one? A Stuntman Ignition.
I downloaded that today. Haven't played it.
I played that. It's kind of frustrating on that last level, but it's better than the original Stuntman that was released on PS2.
Okay.
Obviously, load times is what killed that first one, and the difficulty, and I think they've kind of learned from their mistakes a little bit. Also, what else do we have? We had Blue Planet? Blue Dragon.
Chief among these demos, as far as I'm concerned, was Blue Dragon
and Ace
Combat 6. And Blue Dragon, I jumped into, I have not finished the demo. I played it enough to feel... It was very pretty. I like the way it looks. I'm personally okay with the, you know, Akira Toriyama character design. I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my preference, but, you know, I'll deal with it. Hopefully, you know, we'll get a few other JRPGs coming in on the tail of it. you know, like Lost Odyssey and things that don't necessarily follow the same art design, and that's fine. But it seemed okay. I couldn't dig into it deep enough before the show tonight to have any sort of meaningful opinion, but it strikes me as totally playable. You know, I'm looking forward to it. It's just hard to demo a game like that.
It is.
When they sort of just dump you in the middle of something.
They give you 60 minutes to play.
Yeah, in 1 hour. So, not quite enough to do anything important, but enough to see, you know, a little bit of what it's made of. So that was good. But the Ace Combat 6 demo.
Then there's Ace Combat 6.
Oh, it was just killer. I thought it was great. I know it's not everybody's thing. I mean, I guess we'll refer to it as a flight sim. It's obviously not a flight sim. Mm-hmm. Ace Combat never has been.
It's got flight sim quality look to it, though.
It looks as good as I haven't. Hoggy and I used to play a lot of flight sim together. He still does do a lot of sim playing on the PC side of things. The last thing we played together was a bit of, you know, one of the variants of the IL-2 Sturmovik thing, and like Ace Combat looks far better than that, and I thought that looked great, and still does actually look great. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was just pretty.
Ran great.
It was really fast. Frame rate was really, really fast. It was very smooth. And there was just a hint of simulation in flying the plane. And you could the only problem was that you could change your controls either to sort of an arcade feel or more of a simulation feel. And the primary difference being that in simulation you had independent control of your rudder. You could control your yaw. The problem being that, you know, you've got like thrust up and thrust down on your triggers, and then the yaw on your buttons right above the triggers. So it was very difficult to power through a turn if you're doing stuff like that.
I had to switch. My trigger fingers were no longer my fingers. They had to switch.
They were your middle fingers.
My middle finger became the trigger.
And that's a little bit alien.
That was weird, So.
But obviously, that's the mode that you will most likely want to be using.
And the one thing that I've just realized now with how much fun I was playing that by myself, the whole thing's co-op.
That was like, is the campaign actually co-op?
Yeah, the campaign's got co-op in it.
Ah, man.
Yeah.
I love co-op. I really do.
the campaign's
that's
got co-op.
No, it's good.
So.
And it was fun. You know, there was a lot of combat, so it was simple, so that's obviously where all the arcade elements came out, but it was just good. It was what I wanted, and it was.
I could be wrong on the co-op thing, but the chat room's not available for anybody, or the internet in particular, for me to check that.
Right.
But I believe that the entire thing is co-op. So,
well, even if there are elements,
know that co-op exists as far as some of the missions are concerned that you can play. So,
I am very much of a mind to probably spend the money on the flight stick, and I meant to ask because Jeremy's actually got my Logitech flight stick now. I just didn't know if on a whim anybody tried to play the demo with a USB stick plugged in?
No, I didn't.
Give it a shot.
I'm just totally curious if for some reason, out of the blue, it actually works.
I doubt it.
Sure it doesn't, but, you know, the same way that, like, when you and I first got exposed to this, we tried plugging in hard drives, and, like, I plugged in every USB device I have to my 360.
Yeah, to see if it works.
Only one of them has worked.
One of the things that the 360, obviously, that they said, I remember seeing an article in a magazine when they were talking about the release of the 360. They tested, like, a dozen different things that you could pick, like, just a USB-powered fan that you could stick in there and, you know, have that going, and just all sorts of different things. And they said, yeah, it works, limited connectivity, blah, 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 all this different things. So, surprised some of that stuff didn't work. And you may get some functionality out of it from the Logitech stick, but probably not really anything
But conversely, we know that when we get the stick with the game, that it'll work on the PC side of things. So you'll have it, even if it's a stick specifically designed to work with the retail version of Ace Combat 6 on the 360, you can at least use it for various things over on the PC. Yeah. So that's something to consider.
All right, well, let's wrap things up here and go around the list and see what you guys are going to be doing this week or this weekend coming up. Jeremy, we'll start with you, buddy. What's going on?
And I hadn't really thought about it yet. I guess I'll play some more Tenchu and Bomberman next week when it comes out.
Yeah, Becky, what's up with you?
I'll probably play some more Tenchu, but this weekend I'll be reading the new Harry Potter book.
Oh, that's right. It comes out this weekend. You know, I saw it. Now, Kevin, we don't ever get... Kevin's kind of like another member of he is another member of the show here.
Yeah, he does important work for us.
He just can't... He just doesn't call in or talk on the show. I see him online playing... He bought Golden Axe
Oh, did he?
Him and his wife play at co-op. Oh. You know, whatever yeah. The whole, you know, local co-op.
Local co-op, yes.
Yeah. So, so he's enjoying that, I know, and he's been playing that. Dennis, what are you going to be playing?
I'll be playing some Disgaea 2 on the PS2, probably.
Oh, okay.
Play some Kingdom of Loathing online and reading a new Harry Potter book.
Oh, you will be doing that as well, huh? All right. Well, next week you can come back and spoil it for everybody.
Yes.
And don't be that guy.
Rocks fall, everyone dies.
Right.
James, what are you going to be playing?
The boat sinks.
I don't know. I've actually got a lot more time this week than I've had previously. I mean, I still have to work, but my schedule has condensed itself for the next month so that it is a much simpler thing for me. So I've got, like, you know, all this stuff. I can finally get back to the 360.
Are you going to play more Warcraft? Or are you going to...
I am going to play more Warcraft. Okay. I just, me and a couple other people just moved off of our old server.
I checked.
Did the paid transfer onto a new server.
Bohica hasn't signed into his Xbox Live account in like 24 days, I think.
No, he's playing that. He enjoys it a lot. Yeah. I enjoy it a lot.
No,
so
that's great.
I'm going to be playing a bit of that, but I really want to go back in and do some more Oblivion, catch up on all the demos that I've got backlogged from Xbox Live, and... Yeah, I don't really know. I still think I want to... I mean, the few times I've actually seen it, you've been playing Overlord, so I think I still need to come over and snatch your copy of The Darkness.
I know, I still think I need to get into The Darkness before you do, so I can be like, okay, I played it. Now you tell me your assessment of it. Where'd Zilla go?
She's over in the corner.
Hey, Zilla, just what are you going to be playing this weekend? Come on over.
Playing work.
Really? No, like even...
You got to come up with something else. That's been your answer forever.
Yeah,
I know.
Even on the moments you do get to get on there, what would you play?
You stole the DS for the weekend. Did you get any time on that?
Yeah, I stole the DS.
Doesn't have to be 360-centric.
Really. I did have the DS in my possession, but I also had 19 family members surrounding me, so not so much.
All right.
I know, it's boring.
No, that's all right. It happens. Anyway, for me, and now we've got the phones ringing for some reason. Is she shaking her head? She ain't gonna, okay. She's running in there to grab it, so hopefully you'll still be able to get it. There she goes.
What are you gonna do?
What am I gonna do?
I'm
gonna play Overlord. We still got some time. I'm gonna play Overlord. I'm going to play, try and play The Darkness.
We'll do whatever you gotta do, whatever kind of cursory look you gotta give it.
Rented Vampire Rain.
Oh, yeah?
I had it in my queue. I thought I was going to get Transformers before Vampire Rain, but that came first, so I've got Vampire Rain to play. I want to get in some time with it. I've also... I played some Texas Hold'em Poker.
Yeah?
Because they've upgraded that. You can use the live
camera. Yeah, I was going to say that. It's got camera functionality.
Interesting
now.
Thing. I played with a guy on Evil Avatar. Actually, we got a whole room of us from Evil Avatar to play. That's so much better way to play games.
Yeah.
Like that. When you guys are just sitting around talking. He's from Australia, and he had the camera with him. Apparently, you can take snapshots of your face for different things that you do. If you go all in, you can make a snapshot of, you know, buffing up or something.
You don't have to explain.
If you fold, you can take a snapshot of different things. So it's interesting. But I played a little bit of that. Might get into that. Bomberman Live, I'll be doing some of that as well. Maybe doing more of that than I think if we get a lot of people in there doing stuff like that. So Overlord, Darkness, Vampire Rain.
Bomberman.
And Bomberman is what
okay.
I'm looking at. So.
That's a good mix.
Yeah, it is. I want to get in there. Overlord is still my main target, though. I'm still doing great with it.
You've put time in it. You're still putting time in it. That tells me a lot about it.
It's been good to me. So, we got 2 minutes left here. Anything else we want to hit on? I guess that was nobody on the phone there.
She's gone.
Where did she go?
Uh-oh. I don't know.
I thought she went in there to answer the phone.
Oh, I bet it was. So, I bet it was. I bet it was for Dennis. I'm at the back door.
Oh,
here to,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway. Yeah, so we still got time.
Yeah, I don't know. I should also say, I don't know. I'm going to play the Harry Potter game demo.
Yeah.
That's one of the ones that I downloaded. I don't...
That's fine.
Yeah, it's all right.
You know, Violent P had to admit to some things, and, you know, you can too.
Well, it's there.
Yeah,
I just have to respect the
And we always complain when nothing
there.
Else is there, so, I mean, if it's there, we shouldn't complain too much.
I've got to play it.
I want to thank B.A. Penguin. I want to thank Evil Avatar as well for... letting us promote on their site this show as well.
Right.
And I also want to thank Justin again at Joystick for throwing our name up on there. We've had a ton of hits from just that one little mention.
Yeah, I hope a few more people listen to our regular shows. That was a bit of an oddball show.
It was, and I really hope they do listen to it. Do we have a website now?
It's still
through Mouse Luck.
Yeah, okay. We're gonna get a real, you know, website and URL going.
Yeah,
because I know I paid for one.
Right,
I remember paying for one. So,
well, they kind of sent me into a panic, and I started throwing stuff up that looked better than what we had.
Right. All right. Well, that is going to do it for episode number 24 of In Game
Chat. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. Our internet connection is dead here, so yeah, we just want to thank everybody for listening in the chat room. Thank Flinks for sending in our update on the PC stuff. Thank our callers. Thank Alan for the gift certificate from...
see you guys next week.
Yep.